welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. I have no choice but to get it on. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning. Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, before we even start, can you help me?
Sure.
I'm going to just kill myself, man.
All right. What do you want me to do? Hold you down?
No, I want you to freaking stop that right now.
Oh.
Somebody went into Danny's computer and made the screensaver.
I want to say no offense to Mr. Likas. I'm a fan.
Right.
There's a big picture of Tom Likas on Danny's computer.
He was a guest on my old television show a bunch of times. He's been nothing but kind to me.
Right.
I'm just going to get that clear before I say this. But if somebody doesn't get his big-ass face off my screen that's right in front of me, I'm going to shoot myself.
Do you think that's a practical joke on you?
No, because I've never said anything but kind stuff about the guy.
So he's on as a screensaver.
No, so nobody would think...
Is that what
I
he's on there?
Thought.
Yeah. Is that what that is?
That's a screensaver.
All right. I don't know anyone.
Screensavers move or something.
Call that the wallpaper.
It's the wallpaper. Thank you.
Oh, does screensavers move?
You're a contractor, dude. Get whatever
screensaver is. The little animated thing that keeps your image from freezing into the screen, which that may happen on Danny's.
Yes,
oh.
No.
Okay.
We'll get you a screensaver to give you that.
You are a construction genius.
I can fix it.
Heavy tools involved in scraping wallpaper and you know how to get this done, and if you were my friend in any way, shape, or form, you would remove that face right in front of me.
See,
no,
right.
No offense, Mr.
It's actually not a bad picture of
no.
him as far as that goes.
It's just wearing sunglasses, and he's got that, you know, I still have girl left on me. Just like I don't want to start my breakfast like that. And I appreciate
all
if
right,
you make it go
Brian.
Away.
Give me a tarp, exterior primer, 5 gallons.
5 gallons,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's a big man.
Like
he's got a big head.
That's a lot of head.
I need one of those airless sprayers. I think you can rent them now. Over at Sinclair and 5 Mexicans.
Now I'm
6. Make it 6. Make it 6.
Now, do you use the kind of paint that doesn't have grease?
I'll use a water-based paint. I don't want the stink.
But it'll still come out with grease if you put it over. But now I'm doing investigative research. Looking at his sunglasses. There's something in his There's the reflection of something in his glasses. Is it going to be something? Is it going to be a goat or something?
It's a sandwich.
Oh, it is. I was going to say a naked chick to me, but everything about Likas looks like naked chicks to me.
Right.
You know, that's just the image.
Yeah.
You get when you think of Likas?
Well, maybe when I think of him, but not when I look at him.
No, I can see that.
I think,
he'd make a very pretty girl.
So do you think there's a secondary part of this joke that involves reflection in his glasses?
Well, does anybody, and it's so weird because I'm computer illiterate that I even know about this. I guess everybody knows if I know. But there was a time that on eBay... It was a big gag to sell, like, an urn or whatever.
Yeah.
And you'd put the picture up. Do you know this?
Yeah, it'd have a reflection of something
you naked,
in it.
Taking the picture or whatever in the thing. So now I'm wondering if there's a part two to my giant Likas head.
I'm going to go with no based on this show's history. But...
His show's history or our show's history?
Our show's history.
You're gonna base this whole thing on 4 months?
No, I'm just single. About every time we thought something was something else, it's been the first thing we thought it was.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything in there.
Okay.
Unless you know there's something in
there. No. Like I said, I have nothing but kind words. When you said, do you think it's a practical joke? No, because nobody would know that would freak me out. It just did when I walked in and saw that big old smiling face. And you know he's saying, show me your boobs right at this very second when he's taking that picture.
I think he's probably saying rack.
Yeah.
To be fair to Mr. Likas.
I mean, to be fair, he could be saying, dump that bitch. He has other things.
Or possibly kick her to the curb.
Right.
My wife said nice rack last night.
Why'd your wife say nice rack?
Because we...
You're a soon-to-be ex-wife.
Because my soon-to-be ex-wife is being either overly kind and reasonable, although while simultaneously telling me... We were talking about maybe getting some counseling or anything, and she said, no. And I said, I've never heard a girl say no to counseling. It's the guy that says no to counseling. Why wouldn't you at least consider it? She said, because it would be throwing it away money. I said, yes, well, that's a little bit of a slap in the face. Why? She goes, I have no feelings left for you at all.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I love you. You've been great to me. You've taken care of me. You've been a wonderful father. But, and it's a culmination of things. She's right. That eventually, I guess, wore her down to where, like, she had to armor herself after I cheated. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the truth is kind of a second language to me. You know, just where, it just, if I don't want to hassle at all, I will lie to my wife anyway. Over the littlest thing for years. And I'm trying, by the way, very hard to learn from these mistakes. So she has been so understanding, and I have been, like, so weird about getting a divorce, that she has now opened my doors. They're, you know, not in any intimate way, but I'm allowed to have female company at my home. As long as they act just like friends, and, you know, and this is so-and-so, and we come and go, and, you know.
Even when the kids are home?
Yeah, have dinner. I mean, I'm allowed to have female friends as long as they act just like male friends.
Got it.
You know, what do you mean act like? You mean in front of your family?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're saying it has to be platonic.
Yeah, and it's not
No, but wait a second. Let me get this straight. Most guys, I can have female friends if they're friends.
Right.
What you're saying is you can have female friends who act like friends when they're on the main floors of the house,
well,
but who you could have sex with in the basement?
No, that's definitely not allowed. Well, I'm not sure what's allowed.
I'm just trying to do the act like female friends part, because I have female friends who can come over to my house anytime as well.
Oh, no, I know. I don't.
You don't have that.
No, I've never had a female friend of any kind ever.
But whether you have,
I mean, unless I'm sleeping with her, which I think is extraordinarily friendly of
but
him.
But the question,
I'm serious about that.
The kindest act. That's, I guess the question, weird. But then what I'm saying is, were you not allowed to have female friends in the past, or did you just not have any female friends?
I just didn't have any female friends.
But would you have been allowed to?
Yeah, sure.
So what's different now?
There's just, Gretchen said to me one day, and I'm not going to back down from this because she's just getting up right now. I said that I know that I want you back. And I think even though she's from day one said, Danny, I know you can't go without sex. I know 3 days tops and you're going to go insane. I want you to know it's cool with me. I'm not going to take you to the bank over it. I'm not going to do anything about it. It's a need of yours that I've barely met and you're killing me.
Right.
Just go ahead and just keep it, you know, don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
Which, by the way, went away immediately. You just to ask, tell, anything you want. It's just the weirdest. We're more friendly than we have ever been, my wife and I.
Right. Yeah.
And about
sometimes
far many,
that way.
Far many other things than just this. This is just the radio interesting part.
It's like that thing where you didn't get along with a couple of coworkers, but your transfer came through, and you're going to the Cincinnati office in 3 weeks, and usually the last 3 weeks are spent just sort of knowing you're out of there. Sort of like when a roommate's leaving who you didn't get along with,
right.
But you have a couple more weeks left, and then you'll burn all their crap the last day. That's usually how that works.
But in this particular case, Gretchen is the only injured party. Gretchen's never done anything wrong to me, ever.
But
so there's no reason for me to not like her and love her and want to be her friend.
Right.
But I'm still trying to get some clarity on the friend thing, which is you can bring home a girl, but you have to act like friends when you're amongst the family.
Right. Well, this is, I'm taking a bigger turn than I thought I was going to. This has only happened with a particular girl.
Mm-hmm.
But she is not, by leaps and bounds, I got a bachelor party coming up. I make that real clear, real fast on her, because I've kind of been on a date or two now.
Mm-hmm.
And I make it really clear, really fast, that I'm on a mission. And so let's not get, nobody get real serious, but there's this one girl who has been in my house, and we're very friendly. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
So this is all leading up to how we got to Nice Rack.
So there may be something going on in the basement of the house that wouldn't be acceptable on the first floor of the house.
No, but that's by my rule, and this is all brand new. So I don't have all your answers right away. This is literally a last night's
story. I'm just looking for clarity, because if you say on the radio, I have a new friend, she's a female friend, and she comes over to the house, and let's just say things are very friendly.
Right.
people think that means you're having sex in your house.
Oh, okay. No. But that would be, I think, again, and this is so brand new, I don't have a lot of answers for you. This is from last night. We were downstairs, and when we say the basement, you mean a 2,000-square-foot beautiful apartment with a movie theater.
Right.
I don't live in a hovel. I live in a really nice place.
I'm just trying to make a distinction between
two bathrooms and a tub and a shower.
I'll call it a bachelor pad. I'm just trying to make a distinction between where your domicile is and where the main house is.
Well, the main house I have almost no use for.
Because if you're going to live at home, you're going to have sex with somebody at your house eventually, right?
No.
No.
I don't know, because I would assume I'm going to have sex with grown people that have their own place.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, but getting back to the rule, you're allowed to have female friends around the house. It's been stated that you must act like friends.
Okay, wait. Okay, because this is so new, but now I guess in a way it's not. She has a best friend, Kristen.
You've
met her.
Yeah.
Your wife. Your ex-wife.
My soon-to-be ex-wife.
Yeah. Right.
Well, they know each other, really, through me.
Mm-hmm.
I met her. That's how Gretchen has most of her friends, actually, or a good sum of her friends, is that I meet people. They listen to the show. They whatever. I'm a walking icebreaker. I happened to say that last night. I'm a conversation starter. You know, people talk to me. You know, there's not a lot of walking up to that girl going, like, can I buy you a drink? It's very likely that girl's going to come over and say something to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I met this girl at Isabella's school, liked her, thought she was nice, talked to her. We ended up bringing the kids over to my house, and she and Gretchen became best friends and inseparable. But in a way, she was my friend first. So I guess I could have had a female friend this whole time, but I'd have slept with them, and Gretchen would have known that, and so that would have been uncool. But she became Gretchen's friend, and that's all cool. So about the having sex in my own home, the rule was, flat out, no men or women in this house of any kind who are not under our employ.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to come home because I'm
just bring hookers home.
Well, I thought about that, actually. Yeah,
I'd say I had that thing, and I won on a technicality.
I totally would win that. That girl was under my employ.
What I did is I took the paperwork, I licked it, and I stuck it to my ass, and my wife walked into the bedroom very upset. I just pointed. Actually, I had a mouthful. But I was like,
she works here.
Paragraph 6, line 2B clearly states...
I'm a little Steve-O about it. I actually staple it to my ass, just to make sure everybody knows.
So
I did this voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one girl that my wife really likes, and this started off fairly early in this that we were and we were just friends. But I said to my wife last night, I need some help on the computer, and this girl is really good on the computers. I'd like to go downstairs into the basement. Gretchen goes, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, we don't let the pets down there. How do I leave the door open? Thinking I'm 12, like my dad and my sister, mm-hmm. you can't close the door.
Right.
And she said, what are you talking about? And I said, I can go down to my bedroom with this woman and close the door? She said, of course you can.
Is it because she doesn't think anything's going to happen with that particular woman?
I'm not sure, because she's positive that I would have sex with almost any particular woman this side of death. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just something she knows about me.
And this girl's alive.
This girl's alive and really sweet.
So maybe she doesn't care if you have sex in the bachelor pad.
Yeah.
Well, here's what happened. And it's funny because I had no intention of telling any story at all. This all just started pouring out. So I said, okay, great. So we can go down. That's cool. Thank you. But I want the rules straight because they're not tit for tat, pardon the expression.
Mm-hmm.
No guys coming in my house ever without my permission. And my permission will never come.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And if there were a question of that, it would be a violent response immediately. And everybody knows that, and she knows that, and it's not worth it to anybody. Some get hurt right away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not worth it to anybody. So I would obey the rules as well. It's not fair. So she says, yeah, what are you talking about? Go do whatever on the computer. So we're downstairs, and I have MySpace, and I said, you want to see the kind of MySpace things I get? Because I get a lot of weird MySpace. She said, sure. And we open up, and there's some girl in her underwear. First thing, some girl in her underwear, and some hot girl in lingerie. And it says, it's been a long time since we spoke. What have you been up to? And I'm thinking, I'd remember this chick. I don't know this chick. And then Gretchen knocks on the door.
Mm-hmm.
and says, she says, can I come down? And I said, yes. She goes, what are you two doing? And I said, well, I'm personally wondering why you would think you need to knock on a door in your own home.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wouldn't do it.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah.
I'm not knocking on any doors in my house.
Well, but nobody, you wouldn't have gotten that far with you. There wouldn't be a guy in there with the door closed
right.
in the first place.
Right. Right. Who wasn't being nursed back to health.
Right. She knows you're addicted to sex. She knows there's fresh meat down in the basement. She knows you're single. Probably doing some kind of math. Maybe hoping you're hooking up.
Well, there is that. That's part of the that we've talked about before. If you're a nice girl and you're not dripping with diamonds or have a drug problem or a freak show like the kind of people I used to hang out with, Gretchen's going to like you because at the end of the day, I'm still the investment. Now, I think it's gone on long enough and the hardest parts have gone by that I don't think people are doing the, you know, Danny's going to spiral right out of control now without Gretchen. Oh, my God. He's, what's going to, because I knew
what
that
do you
that
think
was,
Gretchen wants you to be with someone or
yeah,
not?
Desperately.
Yeah, she doesn't want him spiraling out of control.
And
right.
And she also, I don't think, although she says she will do so, she doesn't want to continue to take care of me. I don't really have a lot of skills like using the mail.
Right.
And knowing where the electricity comes from.
Sure.
I just assume it's magic.
Now, listen, you can't be expected to operate, you know, sort of sophisticated devices like garbage disposals and doorknobs.
That's exactly
that bitch, I call it bitch work. BW.
Yeah.
I just stand in front of the door staring at it, yelling upstairs, BW.
I totally wish you were kidding. I really wish you were kidding.
Well, have we gotten to the end of this story?
There's a wrap part, but maybe when we come back.
I just said, what the hell should we write? What should I write to that woman? I don't know her. And Amy, who is the very nice young lady, said, you should write this. And my wife said, you should write, nice rack.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Are all of you trying to start problems for me? This is how this all starts with me.
Right.
I'm going to write, nice rack. And she's going to write back, why don't you come over and see it in person? And I'm going to say, well, sometime, blah, blah, blah. And then everybody's going to be mad at me and I didn't even get to do
anything with it. Is this Amy in the running to become the next Mrs. Bonaducci?
I would think that if we're going to have a bachelor party where I am going to try and pick a bride, it would be unfair to say yes.
She has an advantage.
Well, look, she got there, she may have gotten there first, but that doesn't, you know, look, it's like
she has advantages and disadvantages.
When you're shopping for a car, you have to go to your first dealership. You just do. You physically, it's got to be Cadillac or BMW or Mercedes. You have to go to a first place, but just because you're looking at that first car, does that mean it's the front runner? Well, it's the front runner for the next 10 minutes, but then I'm going to go to the Mercedes dealership and look around, and then I'm going to look at Cadillac.
You're absolutely right.
That's kind of how it is. So the one you're at is always the leader in the clubhouse while you're on the lot, but then you're going to get in your car and you're going to drive to the next lot and kick some tires.
It makes me nervous.
In the boobies.
That I like almost everything about her, and so does my wife, because that makes her an anomaly and some kind of freak.
Well,
she's just the sweetest thing in the world. How is it possible that every Bonaducci would like her? Because the Bonaducci's don't even like each other. So that was really weird.
By the way, speaking of Danny's bachelor party, we have our transsexual young lady who's, I guess, going to be coming out on Thursday. By the way, this is this Thursday.
At the Key Club on Sunset Boulevard.
May 31st. Now, here's the thing. You want to come out. You want to say hi to all of us. Plus, we have a new guest added to the list, an actual cool guest, actually the kind of guest you'd want at a bachelor party, who I'll tell you who that is. But, I mean, you may just want to go out to the Key Club right in the middle of Sunset Strip on any given Thursday night anyway. I mean, it's one thing if we're pitching a tent in the desert and asking you to come out and hang out with us. It's another thing where you may want to be there anyway on any given night in the middle of Sunset Strip, legendary Sunset Strip, even if we weren't going to be there. But, oh, will we be there?
We'll be actually doing a radio show.
That's right.
And, by the way, here's something I learned recently in the coolness world. Did you know Thursday's the new Friday?
Yeah, I thought Wednesday was the new one.
No, it's Thursday.
I did find that out when I have been out on occasion on Thursday and want to know where the traffic was coming from or why this place was so, why the movie theater was so crowded or the club was so crowded. Evidently, people just turn 3-day weekends into 2-day weekends into 3-day weekends. And then I get angry that not enough people have enough going on Friday.
True.
It's like, you know, you do that thing where
We get off work at 10 in the morning. We have a meeting. You get out of here. You pop into Starbucks at 11:30 to grab something, and a place is packed with people that didn't get up 7 hours ago.
Right.
They've been up for 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. Laptops open. They're sort of leisurely going about their business. It's not like they're wrapping up phone calls and finishing something up. They're not grabbing a couple lattes and running out to their car that's still running. They're in.
they're gone.
Legs crossed. Sure. You can see a couple spent packets of Sweet and Low, like they've been there for a while. And it's like, what the hell is going on? And then I get angry. My first is like, hey, why don't you have a job? And then I get, and they're well-coiffed and well-dressed, and there's a nice car in the parking lot. What are you doing here in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week? What's secret? What do you know that I don't know that I have to get up at the crack of F every morning and go bust my hump? What are you doing? And then, how come you're not being punished for it? Shouldn't you be asking me to borrow money? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, shouldn't you be coming up to me trying to bum something off of me?
Right.
Or just saying, hey, buddy, you know, the mochaccino's $4 and I got $3.79. Do you think you could buy a car? No, you seem to have a nicer cell phone than I do and a nicer laptop than I do. You're better dressed than I am. I know there's a Range Rover that's parked out there that's got your name on it. What are you doing? What's going on? And then if you're so successful, why are you here conducting business? Why aren't you in your office?
I'll tell you, a lot of them are getting the green handshake from mom and dad.
All right.
Is that
That's what
is?
I need.
Yeah. And by the way, just let me wrap
I got
up
the brown thumb, by the way. Little bit different. Little different.
I wasn't going to mention this, but that since that story came up, and I was just, I've had a perfectly platonic and lovely relationship with that girl, Amy, who was a lawyer I slept with over the weekend. Okay, back to you.
Oh, really?
All right.
Wow. All right. I want to hear about that. Also, Danny's Bachelor Party. Also, new guest added. And also, yes, here we go. I think we'll speak to our transsexual gal. Very hot. I didn't think it worked this way, but she...
I didn't think so either.
She or he went underwent the surgery and then became a she. At a very young age, relatively young. We'll talk to her. She's coming out from Arizona next.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Bonaducci's having herself a bachelor party this Thursday, 7 o'clock at the Key Club on the fabulous Sunset Strip. We'll all be there. We have Warrant is going to be there playing. I'll be doing a little live strip club call for you. Def Frat Guy. This just added, Dave Navarro.
Ooh.
Oh, is Dave coming?
Yeah, I think he's single. I think he may be single.
Yeah,
too.
I believe so. So it'll be a bachelor party for him, too.
As a matter of fact, the very last place I saw Dave was at the Key Club.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the best live broadcast ever, I think. Mm.
I would say, at least for me, it will be. As a radio show, it may in fact suck. But I figure 4 hours... And if my health, if my sexual health is what I believe it to be, and it wouldn't just ruin my reputation, but rather cement it as the beast that I actually am, and I just, too bad. This is what I am. I'd like to give it up. I'd like to fall madly in love. But I'm thinking I could do it 7 times in 4 hours.
No way.
That's
I'll bet.
High. Without any enhancements?
It'd have to be a different girl each time, though.
Okay.
With the same girl, maybe 3.
Huh. Really? Do you really think you're good for 7?
In 4 hours? We're going to be there 7 to 11.
But 7 with 7 different girls.
Yeah, it had to be 7 different girls. They'd have to be like they'd have to really start helping around girl 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like girl 1 and 2 barely have to participate.
Yeah.
And the whole thing, we'd be done with both of them in a commercial break.
Number 7's going to have to work for it.
It's a tough draw.
You get
some, you know, 5, 6, 7. It's a bad pull. Literally.
Yeah, very bad. Yes.
Literally a bad pull.
Yeah, I just think I could do that.
Mm. Trying to think.
But I'd also like to do my job. Mm-hmm. So unless you guys don't mind, I could probably do both.
You do it at the same time?
Well, couldn't she just kind of be here?
Yeah.
And I could just talk over like that.
We could mic your unit.
Just mic the back of her head.
Yeah. Word up, Bill. Get a lav out for Danny's unit.
Absolutely.
Sure you got plenty of double stick tape this time. I'm going to lose another deposit on
Have you ever done anything like that? Had any kind of sexual interaction while you were broadcasting?
Hundreds of times.
Really?
Maybe thousands.
Weirdest one, well, not hundreds of times, but dozens, certainly. Weirdest one, when I was first started in radio, was the night jock from 10 to 2. And there, I had a girlfriend, at the time. As a matter of fact, at one point I was engaged to her. The only pictures I have of me getting married, my ex-fiance is actually in because they're from a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
I got married on the first date to Gretchen.
Right.
And we tried to keep it a secret because my employers were really mad at me because they hired this single madman guy. And I came to town and married some girl on the first date. And they were furious. And they wanted me to keep a secret, so I did. Then the fiance, who still lived in Philly, where I had moved from, and was going to move out later, found out about it, got really mad, and called Stern. And went on the air with Stern saying, what a pig and what a beast I am. Then the Star magazine called, and there was a picture of Gretchen and I getting married. I'm in a tank top. She's dressed like Nancy Spungen. And then there's a picture of the girl I was engaged to at the bottom that talks about a jilted fiancé calls Howard Stern. And that's the only photographs Gretchen and I have of our wedding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's on the wall. From, like, the National Enquirer.
This doesn't answer my question about having sex while broadcasting.
Debbie got into what happens, what used to happen sometimes. I would go out with girls. Like, I married Gretchen. She knows this flat out. To save me. I was dying, and I needed someone to take care of. I was a drug addict. I was all trouble. And it worked. Mm-hmm. It worked out quite nicely. What would happen before is a lot of times women who were nice would get sucked into my life rather than me trying to get sucked into theirs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My life does have some appeal to some kind of people.
Right. I mean, it's what happens with at-risk teens hanging out with troublemakers. They become delinquents.
Right.
It's not like the delinquents all of a sudden become A students.
So the most interesting to me, anyway, right off the top of my head, sexual encounter I ever had was this big blonde lady. I mean, when I say big, she was big all the way around, but being big by herself did not explain her ridiculous breasts. They were just retarded. It was just, you couldn't move around them.
Real ones.
Real ones, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is 1988, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they had them then, but yeah, they were, she deserved them. This was an ample woman, if you know what I'm saying, but they weren't big enough to deserve. I think they were like triple E's or maybe an F or something crazy.
All right.
So, look, anyone who manufactures bras, you guys got yourselves into trouble when you started doubling down on an alphabet that has 26 letters. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like A cup, B cup, C cup, D cup, double D cup, E cup, double E cup, triple E cup. Go to the next goddamn letter.
Yeah.
You have 26 bra possibilities. Why would you do that? Why would you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10, 10, 10. Go to the next sequential number or next letter, for love of Christ.
Some stigma that comes to being a Z, for one thing, or an X or a Y. They're
Look,
just
once you get past H, believe me, there's baggage there.
Yeah.
We know it. And then it becomes a point of brag. You know, you can brag about it at a certain point when you become an R.
Then in grades, did we stop? Did the bottom become F because it starts the word fail? Because A, you know, ass is the first word that comes to mind. Maybe an astronaut. Why ABC only went down to F? They're way worse letters.
True. All right.
Now back to Debbie.
Tell Danny to move on.
Every now and again, this big girl would drop by.
Debbie.
Debbie was my girlfriend. Every now and again, this big girl would drop by. Debbie'd go hide.
Okay.
I'd put on a song. I would have sex with the big girl. And there was a security camera right there in the corner, in the left-hand corner of the studio that either she didn't notice or didn't assume was on her.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point she noticed, and I said, no, I can shut it off or something. But anyway, either way, we would do it, and Debbie would be in my boss's office watching on the monitor.
Mm.
And Debbie was a nice girl when I met her.
Mm-hmm.
What was she doing in your boss's office?
Was where one of the security camera TVs were. She was watching me.
So your girlfriend would watch you. Now, where did you think your girlfriend was during this?
Where did I think? Yeah. I knew exactly where she was.
So was this part of your guys' sexual relationship?
No. This was planned out.
Yeah.
Oh,
she
okay.
was hot for watching.
I
on
see.
The
I told her
no
flat
problem.
Out. I moved to Philadelphia. She became my girlfriend really fast. I became a huge hit in Philadelphia. And being famous from the Partridge Family didn't pay off that much sexually.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I was getting a ton of female attention. I told this girl, Debbie, who I liked.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't want to be faithful. We can break up, or you can let me sleep around for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And she cut that deal. She said, okay, you can sleep around for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then that turned into weirdness.
Right, like I'm going to watch you on security cameras.
Well, yeah, but I mean, she's totally normal and is normal again from what I hear. But after a while, she did stuff like that. Like the big girl would buzz in from downstairs. Gretchen would split into, Debbie would split into the boss's office and the big girl would come in and we'd put on whatever song we were going to put on. Or sometimes I'd actually talk. You know, because I'm only doing times and temp. I'm a novelty DJ. I'm the guy from the Partridge Family.
Right, and you're spinning records.
Yeah, they just want to say I work there. I only have a 6-month contract. This is before anybody thought this might work for me. Mm-hmm. 18 years ago, or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But Debbie would go, and then we would do it, and then I'd have to get rid of the girl as quickly as possible without feeling too mean.
Right.
You know, because there was. You don't want to be mean. The girl's giving me sex, for God's sakes. There's an immediate gratitude
with me. Triple E's on
her.
But then I started noticing that Debbie was like coming out of my boss's office all like red-faced and sweaty. Uh-oh. And I think she got a little interactive on me towards the end there.
I would reckon to say that's a smart bet. I mean, what else is in it for, if you think about it? Women are a little bit different than guys, but this one sounded like it had... Debbie sounded like she had more guy in as far as her brain went.
She did
than female.
By the end of the day, she had I was going to say a lot of guy in her, but she became a different human being. She became, aside from the drugs, she became what I was trying not to be anymore. Instead of she pulling me out of her hardworking paralegal life or whatever it was.
Speaking of paralegal, do I dare ask about you sleeping with the lawyer this weekend?
Well, I wouldn't mind hearing about that. I also should say that we got a little tranny update, which is ours is sleeping.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, I've heard they sleep.
By the way, she's a sorority girl. She's currently enrolled in college.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how those college kids don't want to get up?
You know that
she's on Kappa Napa. Me.
Yeah. She used to be getting through college on being a sperm donor, but those days are over.
She's coming out here to have sex with the douche man on Thursday night if we can get hold of her. So again, a recap. Bachelor party this Thursday, Key Club, 7 o'clock, Sunset Strip. Dave Navarro has just been added to our list.
Great guest.
Wonderful guy, too. You guys will
And by the
love
way,
him.
You should know, this is free to our listeners. You just show up there at 7, maybe get there a little early.
I would suggest get there a little early.
I don't know when the fire marshal steps in to the Key Club. I've been there a couple of times. Seems like could hold a few hundred, no problem, but... I would say I would come a little early just to sure I could get in myself.
The cool part is my guess is that we will be on the stage where they do Metal School, which, by the way, if you haven't seen You Haven't Lived, it's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what we'll be. Then there's a dance floor that's got to be 150, maybe it's smaller than that, at least 100 people for sure.
Yeah.
But then there's a restaurant balcony upstairs.
That's true. Forgot about that.
Got to be at least 100 deep. And then if you don't care what we're doing that much... Then there's like a VIP club downstairs that holds about 30 to 50.
That's where I'm going to be. All right. We need to take ourselves...
And then there's a bathroom behind there, and that's where I'm going
to
be.
A break. I'd like to take some phone calls. I'm going to shift gears for a minute here. I was watching CNN this morning, as I so often do. I heard my 1,500th story in the last 2 weeks on gas prices and summer traveling season. I was driving with Kimmel, ironically, Jimmy Kimmel, about 3 days ago, and I said, God, I've had an ass full of these gas price stories. And he said, me too, and then we lit a Cuban cigar with a $100 bill, and we both threw our heads back and we laughed. But I said, really, it's up 13 cents from this time last year, and it was up 14 cents from the time the year before, and the news every May, June, it's summer driving season and people are canceling their plans. Well, first off, what is this summer driving season? I'd love to get in on it. I don't seem to be doing anything other than I normally do, which is get up and go to my crappy job. Isn't that what we all do? I know the kids are off school and you got to schlep them to soccer practice and back, but it's not like we're circling the goddamn globe. There's a lot of stuff in our society where we just go, hey, it's summer driving season. Everyone just nods their head.
I'm not sure you're right.
I don't know what I do, how much more driving I do during the summer.
I think there is, because I wish to sail the high seas, there is a land version of that. And people retire to their Winnebagos, which now go up to $250,000 and more.
But what percentage of our... Look, let's put it this way. What percentage of our society, I'm just talking about the working class.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about independently wealthy, because they don't care how much gas costs.
And they're flying places.
Yes, I'm talking about people who work and who, you know, have a tough time making ends meet. They don't get the summer off. They get a week if they're lucky. They don't get 3 weeks off in the middle of the summer. They get 1 week worth of vacation. As Jimmy pointed out, when you go on vacation, when you pack up the minivan with the wife and the kids and the dog, and you head out to the Bay Area to stay with your aunt or whatever to vacation or whatever you're doing, yes, you initially drive more, but then you park the car.
Oh,
and you essentially hang out for a week. You'll drive more during the week. You don't drive. Once you get to wine country or wherever, right, or the Grand Canyon or wherever you're going, you generally park the car at that point and take a few days off in the hotel, in the restaurants, at the amusement park, wherever you're going. All I'm saying is what is the summer driving season?
Okay, now I'm not sure, because I was sure before. It was driving to the Grand Canyon. It was driving to Las Vegas. It was driving to the wine country.
Right.
And the East Coast is driving down the shore to Atlantic City, and in Virginia, it's to Virginia Beach and stuff like that.
You park the car. I'm saying is first off, we're talking about vacations. We're not talking about milk or formula for your infant.
Right.
We're talking about vacations. So thus, it's not a problem already, because it's not a problem. What I'm saying is, you don't hear stories out of Darfur where they're saying these people aren't getting out on holiday.
Right.
It's they're being killed. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're first off worried about poor people not being able to take a vacation. Well, part of being poor is having a crappy vacation or none at all.
It comes with a job.
The whole time I was poor, I didn't take any vacations because I didn't get paid for days I didn't work because I swung a hammer. And it was neither here nor there.
Didn't go on a honeymoon for 4 years.
Right.
Yeah,
so, we're talking about vacations. Who cares? It's not part, like I said, it's not about putting food on your table.
Right.
It's about you sleeping in a Holiday Inn and going to Marineland. Who cares? Number one. Number two, what is summer driving season? How much more do you, the people that are listening, how much more do you drive during the summer? I'm going to guess it's the same as you do in the fall. Number three, and is this really a news story that it's up 13 cents? And who's canceling their plans to the Grand Canyon? And if you are, maybe you shouldn't be taking a vacation. Your car gets 30 miles to the gallon. The Grand Canyon's 450 miles away. Gas is another 9 cents a gallon. That's $1.80 each way. If you can't cut that, maybe you should be staying here in town, burning the midnight oil, getting your degree, and moving on in your life. All I'm saying is what have you heard an ass full of and don't care about anymore?
Okay, that's
what I'm asking.
Because we have a phone number, and I'm assuming that by the way, it is 1-866-901-ADAM, that there is a question at the end of this.
The question is, what have you had an ass full of? What is society trying to get you interested in that you're not interested in? What is it, these whales that are lost in San Francisco that is at the top of the news? Oh, they're 70 miles away. Now they're 40 miles away. Now they're swimming in the wrong direction. Who cares? I don't know how many whales died during the course of covering this whale story. I'm guessing several thousand worldwide.
Yeah, the Japanese are still whaling, I believe.
Who cares? A great society, we can't judge. The point is just because they think it's good to harpoon whales in this modern, we cannot judge. The point is what are they trying to get you to care about? For me, I feel it's summer driving season. Maybe it's American Idol. What do they keep talking about, either in the news, public service announcements? What do you keep hearing that you don't care about, but yet they try? Every summer, at the front of CNN, the entire summer, it's summer driving and gas is going up. Well, no S, Sherlock. It was 29 cents. When our parents were driving in the 50s, and now it's $1.39, and I'm guessing, hold the phones, stop the presses, I'm guessing it'll be 13 cents more this time next year. Do you want to hear another 400 hours worth of gas is up 13 cents more? Do we need to hear that?
No.
Do we need to hear about summer driving season? Need to hear about people canceling their vacation plans? And by the way, who cares? If you can't afford a vacation, cry me a river. You're not working hard enough. You're not smart enough. You don't deserve a vacation. The people that can't afford a vacation shouldn't be going on vacation. You should be sticking around and working harder. You should be educating yourself. You should get to the next level, the next degree. Whatever it is you need to do, you shouldn't be doing it staring at the ceiling of a Motel 6. You should be back in front of your computer starting trying to get your home business off the ground.
We'll be back.
We should be taking a break.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break. What have you had an ass full of? What are they trying to get you to care about that you don't care about? Next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
I wish I knew what you quick you.
If you said Brokeback Mountain.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Ah, yes. The things I'm obsessed with. I'm obsessed with the things we're obsessed with as a society, such as, oh, traffic reports every 15 seconds. Weather reports every 15 seconds. You turn on the radio, it's nothing but traffic. And weather and traffic.
Especially in Southern California, though.
Nobody cares. First
off, it's hot and you're not moving.
And the weather, self-evident.
Yes.
Don't you pretty much know what it's like?
Why don't you step outside your door?
You ever been caught in a blizzard just wearing underpants and a wife beater?
When I didn't listen to the weather report.
Right.
Okay, when I drank.
We are filled, inundated with information that is very repetitive. It's the backup beeper of life. How many backup beepers have you heard? Neem, neem. How many times have you moved? Answer, several hundred million to the first part. Right. The second part, never. Never. I've heard several hundred million backup beepers from the second and third stories of buildings.
Right.
I wasn't even on the street level. I've been up. The last two houses I've had have had bedrooms on the second floor. I've been in my bed nude and heard more backup beepers than most people hear in a lifetime.
And you're probably feeling at that point you're safe from whatever it is that is backing
up. I'm assuming the municipal truck is not coming down the entry hall and is going to go up the stairs and back over me while I'm in bed. I'm just saying it's your life, people. How much of it do you want wasted hearing PSAs about click it or ticket or Schwimmer telling you to talk to your kids or backup beepers or needless weather reports or needless traffic reports? And here in L.A., they're talking about the DeVore Pass out in Rialto, and I think I've lived here my whole goddamn life. I don't know where the DeVore Pass is in Rialto, much less the third lane being closed off for traffic.
I got to go with you, since, and this is as far as I know, and I don't think I could get there without a map, but Covina.
Yeah.
Know it.
Once you get past Covina, I have no idea where you are, and there are now huge cities out there.
And there's a West Covina, but I don't know if there's an East Covina or North or South Covina, and just a West Covina.
There's also an area that it seems to be identified merely by its area code. Where do you live? I live in the 909. Has anybody ever heard that?
Yes, I've heard that, but I don't know where it is, I sure as F don't need a traffic report every 10 seconds from the 909. I don't live in the 909. I can't find the 909 in this car, but I'm doing a lot of driving because it's summer driving season, and gas prices have gone up, everybody.
By the way, one of our callers is from Corona, which is a place that they tell you about on the traffic report, and I never know where that is.
Bert is perfect. Bert,
my wife's lived here 10 years now or whatever, and doesn't know anything about the valley.
Hi, Bert.
Hello.
Bert, you're going to tell us what drives you nuts, what you've heard way too much of in your life.
Just recently, postage.
Yeah. What do you mean just recently? Every time a stamp goes up, and that's about every year and a half, there's a big thing about it in the news, and then they interview people. How are we going to get this letter to Michigan? You're going to pay an extra 2 cents, you puss.
Right.
I agree with Bert.
Well, I work for the post office.
Do people come in there incensed?
Well, I'm on the streets, and I get a letter, and I'm thinking I'm doing something nice to these people because it's a bill, and the bills won't accept it if it's 2 cents. Mm-hmm. So I'm letting them know, and they're freaking out, yelling at me as if it's my fault.
I hate that.
You're just a messenger.
Okay, a couple things. Everybody, let me just, is everyone sitting down? Gas,
I know I am.
Gas used to be 9 cents a gallon. Mm. Earl Scheib used to paint any car for $19.95. The house my grandmother lives in the valley cost $12,000 when she bought it. It's now $700, still a piece of crap, but it's 700 grand more than what she paid for. You get where I'm going here, people? Stamps used to be a nickel. Now they're 42 cents. Gas used to be practically free. Now it's $3. The car you put the gas in, a Mustang in the 60s, was $2,400. Now it's $24,000. You see where I'm going here?
I see a bit of a theme.
Yeah,
sure.
A little theme here. Stuff goes up. Now, the idea that you can take a letter and get it to your aunt in Battle Creek, Michigan, 3 days later for 39 cents or 42 cents sounds like a pretty good deal to
me. Actually, that one, I happen to agree with you 100%. That seems like a really good deal.
How does this work? Yeah, stamps were 41. We're raising them to 43. I'll walk it over myself.
Even FedEx seems like a great deal.
Your aunt's in Michigan. I don't care. I'll be goddamn if I'm going to pay 42. I'll get the neighbor kid to do it. He'll ride his Huffy over there for 25 cents. I'll give him a run it over there.
Listen, I'm too worried about the dangers of tainted pet food to even think about this.
Yes, that's my point. Bonaducci.
Yes.
If somebody said to you, here you go, I have this piece of paper here, this card.
Yes.
I need you. I have a, I got a cousin. He's in Menomonee, Wisconsin. I need you to get it over to his place.
All right.
Here's what I think the Bonaducci answer would be. I'm going to need a limo. I'm going to need between $8,000 and $12,000. I can't tell you because there's going to be some expenses on the road. I'm going to need some girls. I'm going to need a stock limo. I'm going to need an eight ball, and that's just for the ride over. I'm going to need $5,000 deposit. That's down. I'll get the other $3,000 to $7,000 when I arrive at your cousin's in Menomonee, Wisconsin, and I'm going to need over-unders about 4 months.
Okay.
That's what it would be for the douche man to deliver this piece of car.
It would be now.
Right. Now, if I said...
See, because that's because Corolla's my manager. I was going to say 15 G's. That's just because I didn't need the limo or the eight ball. I'd buy it myself. I wouldn't include them in my deal.
Right. But if I said, deliver this car to my cousin in Wisconsin, here's 42 cents... You would spit at me, and then you'd ball the card up, and you'd place it in my rectum. Yes?
That's a fact.
That's my point. I'm tired of hearing about the price of stamps going up. Here's a way, everybody. Here's a good, because I come from a long line of complainers about prices.
Right.
Here's a way to offset inflation. You make more money. You see? When you make more money, it's not like, well, for a poor person, a stamp is 42 cents, and for a rich guy, it's $4,200. Oh, no. It's still 42 right. cents, and a gallon of gas is still $3 for the rich guy. Thus, the equivalent, nothing. So instead of focusing on what the government's doing with the price of stamps, you focus on your career, you get a dollar raise every year, and thus you offset the gas and the stamps.
Yes,
you see
your life,
what I'm
your life should be such that you just stick two stamps on something and you don't care that you wasted 37 cents.
That's right.
Maybe, because I've had money again for a reasonable amount of time. Mm-hmm. But there was an unreasonable amount of time that I lived in a car and had no money. Had just no money at all. Didn't know exactly where I would eat. I mean, I had relatives, so I knew I could get, you know, a meal or two. I was going to be all right, and I would shower at a gym and the Y and stuff like that. But I remember, and I spend money like a drunken sailor,
mm-hmm.
especially if I happen to be on a boat and drunk.
Right.
But I burn through money, so don't think I'm like that. But I do get concerned, not when gas has gone up 13 cents, but when it's gone up from $1.87 to $2, which is still only 13 cents. But now it's made a leap that concerns me.
There's a little milestone thing. It's like when we went from 1997 to 2000 and everyone thought, what will the future hold? And I'm like, in what? 36 months from now?
Right.
Nothing.
But
yes, yes, but your point is.
Well, my point is that I sometimes think, and personally I agree, I think it was P.T. Barnum that said that, you know, that there's a sucker born every minute. But the girl I was talking about just a little while ago, Kristen, my wife's good friend.
Yeah.
She drives her incredibly well-mannered son to school, which takes her over an hour in traffic,
mm-hmm.
drops him off, goes to her job as a vet tech,
mm-hmm.
gets her lunch break not till 3, because that's when her son is out of school and her only opportunity to go get him.
Mm-hmm.
She goes and gets him, takes him home, makes him safe, makes him something to eat, although the kid can cook and take care of himself. And like I said, he's a
good,
well-mannered kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes back to work for the another 5 hours.
And
I don't know how the woman gets by. She works her ass off. She studies to, she wants, she's gonna be from, hopefully from a vet tech. That's what she does now.
Yeah.
I don't think that we're cutting her a clear break. The girl, Amy, I was talking about, well, she's a substitute teacher. At 24, she's got a degree, lives on 20 G's a year.
I know you're a man of the people. I'm not. Here's my point. There's nothing you can do about the price of stamps or the price of gas.
Right.
You have no control over that. What you do have control over is your personal income. You can work harder. You can work smarter. You cannot crap out kids too young so that you don't have to drive them all about or get into bad relationships so that you're stuck with kids. There are choices you can make. Now, you have no choice when it comes to stamps, and you have no choice when it comes to gas. You do have a choice in terms of your income. So let's focus on something you can affect versus something you can just complain about, which is essentially farting into the wind. Jeff?
Jeff.
Hello?
It's always that little delay there. Not sure how that works.
Jeff. What can we do for you there, Jeff?
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
And Teresa, you're beautiful, by the way.
Thank you.
She is.
Hey, I went to Napa on Saturday, which is about an hour and a half from where I live, just outside of Sacramento.
Oh, man, how did you afford the extra 19 cents?
It was amazing that I had
summer driving season. Yeah.
There goes the kids' college fund.
Yeah.
I participated.
Mm-hmm.
So. But between there and back, there's like 5 Amber Alert signs. All of them said, click it or ticket.
Yeah. All
so
these.
I get to my uncle's house. And I start telling him, I can't believe all they got off. The only thing they can tell us is click it or ticket, right?
Right.
He says, oh, well, in Napa, they hired 2 cops full-time to patrol the back street just to get people that aren't clicking their seatbelts.
Right.
Which is beautiful to me. Then I get home, and then Sunday we go to Marysville, and it says Gold Sox, which is a minor league baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And it says Gold Sox season opener. And then underneath that it says click it or ticket. I think we get the message. I think they spent enough money telling us to click it or ticket. I've had enough.
Enough. And listen, I agree. You're either going to put your cigarette down and put your seatbelt in or not. You know it.
Yeah.
We know cigarettes are bad and seatbelts are good. Some of us choose to smoke. Some of us choose not to wear a seatbelt. Right. That's why this is a great country. You don't have to keep bombarding us with this information.
I don't mind the bombardment as much as I mind the enforcement. David Schwimmer can tell me I don't have to be mean to be funny all he wants. And I will take particular delight in being funny at the expense of David Schwimmer.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
Not if you're Schwimmer. You just can't be funny. See what I mean? Just that easy.
There you go.
So
you made fun of him.
That easy. At his expense. What I don't like is the safety police.
No.
I think my kid should wear a helmet when they ride a bike.
Right.
But if I don't have one, I never wore a helmet when I rode a bike.
Yeah.
I don't like it when the idea of click it or ticket, which is a sound piece of advice, becomes law. And there's somebody who can look into my car without probable cause and write me a ticket. Who I have been stopped on the beach walk, and I wasn't ticketed, and I would have fought it anyway, because my kid wasn't wearing a helmet. And they actually told me I had to have somebody under 16 had to be wearing a helmet on the beach.
I'm for that.
So you're for that?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because it's very dangerous to ride your bike on a cement surface and
well,
it's a little kid. And
it's
I'm
not.
For it.
I don't know if it's very dangerous, but I will go along with you and that laws that involve minors, I understand, which is you have to put your kid in a child safety seat because they don't have a choice of whether they're going to use a child safety seat. I don't like the 6-year-old with the helmet thing.
I don't.
But the minors, as far as rules for minors, fine. That's what laws are for. It's the rules for adults. Intelligent, tax-paying adults. When the man,
right.
You know, it's, look, when you're a kid, this is all you have, is a whole bunch of hoops to jump through. You have a principal telling you what to do. You have parents telling you what to do. You have babysitters telling you. I mean, everyone is telling you what to do. The part I don't like is when you're in your 40s, you pay an S-load in taxes, and then you have a bunch of people telling you what to do.
Right. I'm with you 100%.
The whole reason you don't want to be a kid anymore is because you're tired of people telling you what to do. Your teacher, your counselor, your principal, your mom, your dad, your stepdad, everyone's on your ass telling you what to do. Well, no more, because now you're an adult. You take care of yourself, you pay your bills, and guess what? You get to tell you what to do. Click it or ticket.
Try getting anywhere on my beautiful Harley Davidson that I love more than life itself without a helmet.
Oh, no way.
I was just in Florida, one of the last states that does not have a helmet law. I looked out the car window, and I see a guy on a Harley riding down the freeway with no helmet, and My heart jumped. I went, yes. Oh, my God, that's right. There's still a place in this country.
Would you ride with no helmet?
I would never wear a helmet if I didn't have to wear a helmet, unless it was cold out.
We need to take a quick break. We have some more of your calls on things you've officially had an impacted ass full of and never need to hear of again. Like I said, it just started with every morning I go down, I turn on CNN, and they talk about summer driving season and gas prices. A, no S, Sherlock. You can't drive 10 feet without seeing the price of gas clearly posted. Right. So I'm guessing that's not news.
Right. It's like seeing a news report on what you're wearing.
Right.
Like, I know. I'm wearing it.
I put it on. I understand. Yeah. So A, not news. B, I don't know what summer driving season is. But C, I'm looking up at the screen here. I'm seeing Paris Hilton and Rosie O'Donnell and fat people, what makes you fat, and global warming. No duh, no duh, no duh. Maybe there's nothing left if we get rid of all that. Maybe if we get rid of all the useless weather and traffic reports, we'll have no news.
You know what? I'm thinking that Rosie O'Donnell is actually responsible for all the other calls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you take Rosie O'Donnell, I'm positive that the hot air that comes out of global this bitch
warming.
Is global warming right mm-hmm. friggin' there.
Mm-hmm.
Click it or ticket is somebody has to restrain that crazy bitch. And then the other one's just fat people right
there
out there.
There you go.
All our calls That's are caused
point.
By Rosie O'Donnell. If Rosie O'Donnell were dead, I personally feel life would be better. And
Rosie,
safer for all.
Big, fat, lesbian, loud Rosie.
Perhaps we should toss her in a volcano, not only getting rid of Rosie, but also stopping the volcano from erupting for
and
another several hundred
the
years.
Gods.
The gods,
yeah,
that's
sure.
right. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. T?
Yes.
Tell you what we're going to do. I think we're going to mop up here, and then we'll do your news.
Sounds
so, next, what's pissing you off, and then news on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Jack Man's coming off a long weekend. He's on Pirates of the Caribbean 3 times. Love that, Keira Knightley. Flat ass. Long, skinny legs. No boobs. Just like a little boy. I mean girl. I mean fully grown adult girl. Let's move on. Today we'll talk to comedian Bob Odenkirk for Music Monday. We'll get ready for Danny's Bachelor Party by counting down the best and worst Bachelor Party songs of all time. And we'll check in on the latest with T's dating life. Or as I call it, Suicide Watch 07.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, based on me seeing, turning on CNN this morning, hearing the news about summer driving season, gas prices, and then right off to the whales that were lost in the bay, and then right off to weather. I thought, well, so far I've been watching for half an hour, and I've got nothing. I know gas is more expensive than it was. Still not sure what summer driving season is. It's one of these things we've all signed off on, but nobody seems to do it. And again, as Kimmel pointed out, ironically, while we were driving, once you get to your aunt's house in Wisconsin, you then park the car and you play in the lake for the next 5 days, and then you get back in your car. I'm not so sure that you drive less during the summer when you're on vacation, but be all that as it may, who cares if people can afford a vacation or not? Isn't that the last thing? Isn't it about food? Isn't it about education? Isn't it about shelter? Isn't it about clothing? Isn't it about medical? And then, I don't know where vacation falls on that list. When you don't have enough money for gas, perhaps you should work harder or work smarter or focus on your career or not crap out as many kids so you don't have to schlep them in the minivan. Focus on that, not on gas going up 9 cents and not a postage stamp going up 3 cents. It's not news. And if it is, it shouldn't be. Mark?
Yep.
You've had an ass full of what story?
You know what, man? Just let me first off by start. You know, let me start by saying, Adam, Danny, Teresa, you guys rock, man. You guys make my day.
Thank you.
But you know, long story short, I'm sick of the world trying to make these kids so soft and you know so nurtured nowadays. You know, I remember when I was playing Pop Warner. You know, you bust your head open. You know, you get a couple. You know, you get a couple handfuls of dirt. You rub it in. You get back in the game. You know.
Yes.
I'm going to my little brother's games now, and I'm finding out there's no such thing as winning and losing. You know?
Yeah.
I know. You know, you can call stress timeouts and all this ridiculous.
A stress timeout.
That's right.
Yeah.
The quarterback wants to have a me day.
Yeah, no, I know nothing about sports, but I do know that I asked Adam for help when my son was going to be on the Little Lakers or whatever it was called. And it turned out he didn't need the help. And do you know why? Because you can't lose.
Right.
Exactly. You know, you take all the competitive edge out of any sport. You know,
right.
To the point where it's like, you know, what is competitive sports? You know, it shows kids that it's competitive,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Look, Mark, you're right, because here's what you do. Everyone gets a participation trophy. There's no winners. There's no losers. Nobody keeps score anymore. And now that same kid is in his 40s, and he's complaining about the price of a stamp going up 3 cents.
Thank you very much.
Because he has lost his competitive edge.
Yeah, needs a stress timeout from work.
It's funny. You and I see it a different way, and Mark's the call that I also took notice of. But the call says exactly, I'm tired of them trying to make kids soft today. I never thought about the competitive edge or winning or losing because I never correlate anything with sports.
Mm-hmm.
I thought seriously about making them soft and weak and scared.
Right.
When I was a kid, kids were hard. Kids, you'd fall off your dirt bike, your BMX, and you'd need stitches. And you'd be bleeding all over the place. And you'd go, man, you better get home. And maybe your friends would or would not ride with you home, but you'd get on your bike, bleeding all over the friggin' place, and you'd walk in your house, and your mom and dad would then decide if you needed stitches or not. Today, kids seem to be conditioned
Danny, you left out one part.
What?
Which is, after you fall off your bike, your three friends that you're riding with laughing their ass off.
Oh, absolutely.
While you're writhing in pain.
Especially if you smashed your nuts.
And then you getting back up and bleeding on the way home.
Right, but that's the way kids were then. I hate to be of an age when I would say back in my day,
mm-hmm.
but I would pit any 10-year-old from 1970 against any 10-year-old from 2007.
Well,
kind of physical contact.
Perfect. Pork chop sideburns, bell bottoms, full facial hair, having sex. It was a different time.
It was a better
time.
10-year-olds
were different back then.
As far as kids going soft, and you guys both have kids, I don't, and maybe I'd be more understanding if I did, but it seems to me when I was a kid, if I made one sound in a restaurant, one sound, and it was not a kid's restaurant, my mom would put me out. And we grew up in San Francisco. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't snowing, but it was cold. If you annoyed people in a restaurant, my brother and I would sit outside until we'd shut up, and then we could come back in. Now I feel like I see kids at the restaurant. They're climbing over the booth. Their Cheerios are everywhere.
And everyone's an enabler. And the mom is called ahead to make sure there's no peanut dust, peanut-related anything, because her kid may have an allergy, so we can have it removed.
That's at my kid's school.
I took a Southwest flight. Frankly, the only thing that's good about Southwest, if you make any money, the best thing about Southwest is if you're poor and you want to fly to Portland for $18.
Right.
But if you have two nickels to rub together, you're miserable because you're sitting next to two fat guys in cut-off sweats who should be on a bus, except for Southwest has made it possible because it's $18 to fly to Portland, and you're stuffed between these two morbidly obese guys wearing Raider.
They threw wings on that bus.
Sure. They put wings on the bus. It's called Southwest. The best thing about Southwest is peanuts. They're one of the few airlines that throws out the sacks of peanuts. I happen to love peanuts. I was flying back from Vegas once, and I said, well, I'm miserable because I'm between the two fat Raider fans, but where are my peanuts? And the person said, oh, no, they're not on this flight. Ugh. And I said, why not? Somebody has a peanut allergy. They called ahead, and we had them removed from this flight. And I'm like, there's 99 people on this flight. One of them may have a problem with peanuts. That person, I should be looking at the roof of their rental car as we zoom past them while they're driving home from Vegas because they have peanut allergy.
Yep.
Don't make your kids' problem everyone else's problems, and that's what the restaurant's like. I'm not at a Chuck E. Cheese. I'm at a grown-up restaurant. Why is your kid screaming about the poop in his pants?
We are, look, we started with this children are our future, again, with the no duh. What do you think? Who do you think our future is, Grandpa? Do you think he's going to have some sort of renaissance in his 90s? And look, of course, kids are the future. Let's not fill their head with it because they get cocky. We're enabling these kids. I don't want a bunch of soft, cocky. I don't want a soft, cocky, enabled future.
Those are just two words I don't like to hear together at any age.
Soft, cocky. And cocky. That's right.
Yes.
You know, it just takes a lot of explaining and saying I've never had this happen before.
Right. We put a helmet on everyone. Everyone is suing everybody. And what you end up with is Lindsay Lohan because a couple years ago when her mom should have got her in a headlock and beat some sense into her, she's talking to Pat O'Brien saying she's just like every other kid. Yeah. There's a lot of pressure. Stress. You don't know what it's like. And look, your kid is out of control. You should have put the hammer down on your kid, not talk to Pat O'Brien about the stress of being a 17-year-old and living in Hollywood.
Right. And they talk out of both sides of their mouth when they do it. They say she's just like every other teenager and you don't know the stress of the paparazzi. Well, she's one or the other.
Right. Not every teen is being followed by paparazzi. Steve?
Yeah, how you doing?
What's up, my brother?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I just want to say love you and your crew.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm really sick and tired of every time I pick up the phone to go to a utility, anything, it doesn't matter, that I have to press 1 to hear English.
Right.
What is up with that?
Well, buddy, if you're listening
in
Southern, first off, in SoCal, I've done the math. In another 6 to 9 years, you'll be pressing 2 for English because Spanish will be numero uno. Yes, I have a problem with that as well. Is it because I have a problem with Mexico? No, although it's a fairly crappy country that's corrupt, and that's why their people are over here. Do I love the people? Love the people. Love the food? Love the language? Love everything. It's their language. We have our own language here. We have our own culture here. That doesn't make me a xenophobe. I don't want Southern California, California, Arizona, and Texas to turn into another country.
Didn't we fight just to win those?
Yes, it's not that I have a problem with Mexico. I would have a problem with it turning to France, Germany, or Canada.
Right.
I think everyone who lives in these United States would have a problem with your state turning into another country.
I agree with you 100%.
That makes you racist?
No, it makes me furious that I have to push the number 1 to hear my native tongue.
But
on the other hand, one of the things I do happen to love about Mexico is, in fact, the corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Corruption makes my life simple in Mexico.
Yeah, you can buy your way out of, you know, a homicide over there.
You got
for
a
80
dead
bucks.
Hooker by your campfire. She's $300 away from your freedom.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You just got to love a legal system like
that. Well, when the motorcycle cops are riding wheelies, that's a good that's a good indicator that they're ready for a bribe. All right, we need to take a break. T?
Yes.
What's coming up in the news, baby girl?
Well, you mentioned Lindsay Lohan. She had a great Memorial Day weekend, but I'm not sure she remembers any of it.
Mm-hmm.
We will talk about that.
She did a little partying? I'd like to talk to her mom, find out what's up.
Well, you'll be hearing from her dad, as a matter of fact.
You know who really suffers in all these cases with the Paris Hiltons and the Lindsay Lohans and the what have you? Ultimately, for me, I'm a car lover. And I see them driving these 12-cylinder, multi-hundred-thousand-dollar, crafted in Germany by a group of 70 guys with 7,000 years of collective engineering degrees and experience under their belt. And then they just hop in these cars and they drive them around like they're bumper cars and go-karts, backing into cars in front of the paparazzi, wrapping them around trees and telephone poles, and then just happily driving away or getting a bodyguard or whatever. The idea that this, to me, is a piece of art in what you're doing is taking a deuce in the Louvre when you wrap that thing. 19-year-old chicks shouldn't be behind the wheel of those beautiful cars with the heritage and the craftsmanship anyway. But, seeing, you know, they always say it's the kids that suffer.
Yeah.
It's the cars that suffer.
It's
with
the Corollas.
And the Corollas with
suffer.
The ditzy starlets and their booze. booze and ugh. We'll take a quick break. Be back with that next.
She's had her share of guys. Fat comics, two men who cried. There's a reason why they didn't work out. She's crazy as hell or on the borderline. She's done a lot of things that should have worked to keep a man, oh. Behind, yeah, she used it. Tried the back door to booze in. Teresa is a lonely girl who sits waiting by the phone. The only two friends Teresa has are Lean Cuisine and Jameson.
Yeah. All those Duran Duran songs remind me of a horrible time, which is super poor in the 80s when it was cool to have a Countach and dress like Don Johnson and do a bunch of coke. It was real emphasis on money back then. Not everyone just shopped at, everyone just goes to Old Navy now. You see rich guys wearing cargo shorts and flip-flops. Back then, if you're rich, we knew it because you're wearing Armani suit. But being super poor and not being able to pull off the new wave romantic look very well. The Loverboy headband and the Duran Duran and androgynous sort of billowy blousey look. I couldn't pull that one off. So it was a time when I couldn't pull the look off and I had no money even if I could have bought the clothes.
What year are we?
Early 80s, mid 80s.
Just like the very, very early 80s was the last I could pull off being famous. Which equaled money to people's minds. They had no idea. I had no money whatsoever. But it was still, these songs are good memory songs for me, even though I was flat broke, because I was the only one who knew it. I still looked cool.
Well, if you call good memories of not being laid and having horrible jobs, then I guess they're good memories for me. T?
Yes.
Speaking of not getting laid, what's in the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
An anonymous man involved in dogfighting rings agreed to do an interview with ESPN about Michael Vick's alleged involvement in such fights on the condition that they masked his voice and kept his identity a secret. Here, the anonymous man says that there are at least 20 to 30 pro athletes involved in dogfighting. Michael Vick was one of them. Here he is. Listen closely because his voice
I think that's
is
funny. He's, yes? he's a 35-year-old heavyset black guy. Not a lot of range in the voice department.
Right.
At least to Whitey.
Right.
No reason to take that big guy. Look, you got a 300-pound, 35-year-old black dude. You don't have to disguise his voice. And I would say, instead of disguising the voice with the synthesizer, which is very creepy and annoying because it sounds like there's a serial killer in your TV set, put a different voice in. Perhaps a young Asian woman.
Huh.
That would make it entertaining instead of the. All right, let's hear his disguised voice.
Especially if they
used a lot of
lingo.
Here we go.
Right.
How deep into dogfighting is Michael Vick? What's his level of involvement in this?
He is a pit bull fighter. It's not about, you know, how deep you are, you know.
It's like Darth Vader's telling you about Mike Vick.
He's a pit bull fighter.
What does that mean?
He likes to fight dogs.
What's his reputation?
He brings a good dog, and he's going to bet. And he's going to bring a nice sum of cash.
See, normally the guy sounds like David Niven's. So they had to disguise his voice, otherwise the other brothers would know who he was.
Well, they didn't want you to think it was Jude Law or somebody like that.
Let's put it this way. There's 100 famous black athletes, and white for that matter, too. Why do we have to just, you know, if you closed your eyes, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference in the post-game interview. They all athletes sound like athletes. All heavyset brothers sound like heavyset brothers.
Wow.
I just want to hear their regular voice. There you go.
In that case,
wow.
All athletes sound like heavyset brothers then.
That's right.
Okay.
And all brothers sound like heavyset athletes.
Wow.
And let me put this in. There's certain what I call tells that let me know you're a despicable person. If I find out you've been diddling your 3-year-old niece, there's no redemption for you in my book. It's not like, wow, this guy's a great carpenter, but he likes him young.
Yeah.
No, you're a bad guy, and I want you either destroyed or put on an island somewhere. Right. I don't know where dog fighting falls in on that, but it's pretty damn close. I understand. Look,
a pedophile?
In the sense that, no, it's close on my list of I can't hang with you.
Oh, if yeah. It's on my list. It's close to my list of people, if there's no penalties for it, people I can just kill.
Right.
I just shoot a guy who fights dogs.
You tell me you were incarcerated, and I say, why? And you say, I was selling tabs of acid at a Fish concert. I'm like, oh, well, who cares?
Why
I got no problem with you. Right.
Victimless crime.
And if you tell me you're in jail for embezzling money from your company, I go, well, all right, dishonest, but I understood what you were trying to do. But it's the pedophiles, and again, the dog, the guys who breed them, the guys who bet on them, the guys who enjoy watching the dogs kill each other. You're on my short list of horrible people.
Oh, yeah, on a very short list, actually.
And do we need any more evidence that these guys aren't going to class when they're in college, all these professional ball players? Is there anyone with a college degree that's into dog fighting?
You know, that's when I lost my love for Roy Jones Jr., probably one of the greatest boxers of all time.
Cockfighting.
Yeah.
But at least you eat chickens. There's some sort of math where...
They're not man's best friend.
For me, I fall under the heading of, if I've ingested several thousand of your cousins, aunts, and uncles, I don't care as much as if a horse or some animal that I'm not physically passing through
me. Well, certainly, pardon the expression, there is a food chain of animals that are more cuddly and likable.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the viciousness of a dog fight, and I've only seen seconds of them on news clips.
Right.
But the kind of person that could watch one, let alone be involved in it, take care of the dog that is now going to get shredded, I feel is capable of almost anything.
I agree, and I think we should judge as a society, and I think we should decide these are bad people.
Yes. And then we have to decide what we get to do as good people, and I even, believe it or not, include myself among them, what we should get to do with them. Because you could do almost anything to an animal, and it's a misdemeanor.
We should start by judging them.
Yes.
We should start by not deciding that it's okay, or that's his thing, or it's a cultural thing. We should call them bad. That's the first thing we should do. T?
For the record, I was going to say that Michael Vick, who is the quarterback of the Falcons, his home in Virginia was raided. They found 66 dogs. This was back in April. They were mostly pit bulls. They found a dog fighting pit. They found bloodstained carpet and other equipment associated with dog fighting. But Michael Vick denied knowledge of dog fighting at that property. He said another family member was living there. So that's what he said, just for the record. But this anonymous guy seemed to suggest that there was pretty heavy gambling going on with the dog fighting. Let's take a listen to that.
He's one of the ones that they call the big boys.
Darth
this
Brother.
That's a large dollar. And I have money to bet. Large money.
Luke.
If I'm talking about large money, 30 to 40,000, even higher.
Jesus.
Well, again.
He's one of the heavyweights.
Michael Vick is?
He is a heavyweight, yes.
You have 66 fighting dogs or pit bulls on your property. I'd say you're probably into it.
Yeah, probably.
Look, having seven dogs is a ton of dogs. This is 66 dogs.
Yeah. And bloodstained carpet?
Yeah. Could have been anything.
Now, on to Lindsay Lohan.
Speaking of bad people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard, but Lindsay, I don't know that I'm necessarily an addict. Lohan could be facing charges of drunk driving and cocaine possession. She wrecked her car early Sunday morning. Lindsay and two friends were out club hopping Friday night until the wee hours of Saturday morning. They had been being driven by a chauffeur, but around 5 a.m., he took them from a private party back to Lindsay's home, and they jumped into Lindsay's car, a Mercedes SL65 convertible.
Mm-hmm.
I know you care about the car.
Yeah, $150,000 car.
Really?
Yeah. They trash those things, too.
Well, she plowed into some trees after jumping a curb on Sunset Boulevard. Her friends drove her to Century City Doctors Hospital. No word what happened to the car.
I like, first off, that she was just fleeing at 5 a.m. knocking on doors in Beverly Hills.
Right.
Like, what'd you think? A guy was going to put his pipe down, put the paper down? Who's that, honey? Do you expect anyone at the door? Jesus, street lights have been on for 13 hours. 5 a.m., let me head over there. Like, what? People who live in Beverly Hills aren't going to running down to their... They're going to call the cops when you bang on the door at 5 a.m.
Well, one of her friends drove her to the hospital, and yes, somebody did call 911.
There now, you
go. The cops found some cocaine.
Well,
what they
the,
think is cocaine.
The cops found the coke because the security guard, possibly the same guy that was talking about Michael Vick, I'm not sure, drove the car back to Lindsay's condo, but neglected to clean the coke out of it.
Right.
So he drove it back.
See, grounds for firing, by the way, in my book.
I've told all of my help, and right. I'm not just talking about bodyguards and chauffeurs. I've told the nanny. I've told the gardener. I've told the pool guy. When I'm carted off somewhere and you got to jump in my rig and follow me, clean the blowout.
Right.
A, number one, I don't care if you keister it. I don't care if you do it yourself. I don't care if you give it to underprivileged kids. Get rid of the blow, because then the cops showed up at her place, impounded her car, and then found the blow.
Now, here's where the story gets interesting. She went to the hospital. She was treated for what they're calling upper chest area injuries. I don't know exactly what that is. Now, after getting...
I'm going to go with airbags.
You mean her...
Her airbags in her boobs.
Right, there you go.
Right.
So now, after crashing the car, going to the hospital, cops finding cocaine, this could be a wake-up call. You could think, hey, maybe I need to slow down. Not so much for Lindsay. Early Monday morning, she was out getting wasted again with a friend, and there's pictures of her. It looks as though she's puking on a sidewalk. It looks as though she's passed out in a car, and there's a 30-day sober chip hanging from the windshield mirror.
Good so times. Ironic, yes.
So the latest report from In Touch Weekly is that...
Oh, sweet irony!
She's back in rehab at a place, Danny, you know well, called Promises.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how busy this... What a hassle this is for me. Why Here's my that? First email of the day right now. How are you? Are you available to do CNN Showbiz tonight at 2 p.m. L.A. time? The subject is Lindsay Lohan, addiction, and child stardom. That's my first email today. I'll bet there's 50 of that.
Well, yeah. Do you have anything to say on the subject of Lindsay? I mean, clearly,
you know what
anybody
I have to
can
say?
Get a one DUI, but when you've gone out 2 days later and gotten wasted,
do you know what I have to say about Lindsay Lohan on all of these shows and Paris Hilton and everybody else?
Right.
I have this. 97.1 Free FM. That's what I have to say about all these freaking people, because I hope they all die.
Right.
Everything between my introduction when they say those numbers and goodbye when they say those numbers is crap to me. All these people can catch fire. Lindsay and Paris, who cares? I'm much more interested in the whales in San Francisco.
Well, she has an addiction, and she should take care of it, and her mom should take care of her instead of wrestling with the media.
Yes, well, her dad actually had something to say. About a week before this happened, he talked to the media, since I don't think he can speak to her directly.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what he had to say. A week before
this. Did they have
this.
Visiting hours for the media? Is that how it works? Was he talking to him through 3 inches of Lexan?
I think he's out now.
Ah, good news.
Well, Lindsay, I've been trying to get this message to you for a long time. I'm here for you. I love you. And this is about love and forgiveness. Nothing else. I'm your father, and that's all that matters to me. You're the most important thing in my life, and I'm sure in mommy's life and
right.
my brothers and sisters' life.
Right.
And we just want to all be there for you.
Right.
Please, honey, just get in touch with me and let's get this right.
Sure, the other brothers and sisters were delighted to hear that she was number one in the sibling department. And number two, I hope, my sincere hope is I one day get far enough along where I can deliver a message to my children via the media.
Right.
I always love that when they talk to John Voight. Would you like to say anything to Angelina Jolie?
It seems as though that's a terrible sign.
I'd like to communicate with my family via the media.
Do you want to say that now?
If you're listening, don't call.
Okay.
I will send a cub reporter from CNN over. If you want to eat lunch, if you want to come by the house, you want to see the kids, you want to do anything at all, he'll take a statement. We'll go ahead and run it through the voice synthesizer so it sounds like the guy talking about Michael Vick. And then I'll go ahead and break the tape down, and then I'll deliver a message through. I'll be on Scarborough Country, by the way, today. I'll talk into the camera. You watch today, and I'll deliver it that way.
Well, do you have a message for your wife right now that you'd like to deliver?
Wake up.
Media?
Wake up.
And?
Rattle those pots and pans. I mean, literally, just go out in the kitchen and make some noise.
Just actually rattle. Well, I will end on this. Charles Nelson Reilly, one of the first openly gay show business stars, died Friday at the age of 76. Let's hear the Match Game theme music. This is for you, Charles Nelson Reilly. It's very sad. He died of complications from pneumonia. He was 76 years old. You probably remember him from Match Game.
I remember him as the hoodoo guru.
Damn right you do.
From Lidsville. Or H.R. Puffin stuff or whatever the hell it was.
H.R. Puffin stuff.
And when he says die, look, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but when you're openly gay and you die of complications from pneumonia, does that mean what I think it means?
I think so, but I don't have any confirmation on that. One would think.
Are we implying that or am I inferring that...
Epstein-Barr.
You die of pneumonia at his age, openly gay, AIDS.
He'd been in declining health for more than a year, and I'm not sure if pneumonia is a year-long illness.
Well, a lot of old folks are taken by pneumonia eventually, but I don't know. I don't know. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, and I'm just asking, I'm not saying he had AIDS. All I'm saying is if he did, aren't we living in a time where we say it now because we're sort of trying to prevent whatever?
You know, he was 76. He was of a different generation. So who knows if he had AIDS or if he actually did have pneumonia or something else, but maybe he just wanted to keep it private.
Well, he'll be missed.
Yes, he will be missed. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
A couple pieces of information before I tell you about Bob Odenkirk, which is who is coming up next. Busy week here. First, Danny's Bachelor Party, Key Club. That is this Thursday. Then Friday, I'm going to be at the Skirball Center giving some sort of lecture or being interviewed. It'll be scintillating as soon as I figure out what it is. Tickets are free, but they'll go quick. So you go to adamcarolla.com, and you can punch it up and figure it out. That is this Friday. And then Monday, we'll do my movie premiere out here. And again, you can go to adamcarolla.com. And again, it's free, but again, very limited in the ticket department. So go check that out. We'll see you Thursday, Friday. We'll take the weekend off. That's what I call the refractory period. And then it's on again Monday night, my little chumps. That's the weekend's when I sleep. Bob Odenkirk is going to be up next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Couldn't see. It's The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's a crank call from the Crank Yankers Vault with Bob Odenkirk.
Hello? Yes, hi.
I'm here calling to complain.
About?
Some children that I saw coming down of the YMCA there. And they were up to no good. They were smiling and laughing, joking and joshing around and making japes. And slapping each other on the back. It didn't seem fair or right. They were bouncing an orange ball.
We have a teen center here, and they were probably the teens that were just leaving here.
They were teenagers, exactly.
Right, and we have a teen center here.
Singing in harmony.
I'm an
old man. I can't sing. I can't bounce a ball. It's like teasing.
Okay, sir. I'm sure they weren't doing it intentionally.
Yeah.
As I said before, we do have a teen center, and they were probably just leaving from here.
They were chewing on jerk beef, which I cannot do as a result of my teeth aren't good enough for that no more. Well, I told them. I yell out, stop it! Stop it!
Okay, well, they just laugh, ha, ha, ha.
We're never going to get old. Well, I'd like to give a lecture down there.
A lecture on what?
You're going to get old. That's what they'd call it.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
They made whistling sounds in five-part harmony.
Okay.
That's just teasing.
I'm sorry, sir. I really don't know how to...
And next time you see the children making all that hoopla, you say, watch it, there's old people out there.
Yes, sir.
When you're older, it's not fun to watch people full of life.
Well, I'll make sure I'll make sure the teen center knows about that and to behave themselves when they leave our YMCA.
Young lady, you sound just as disrespectful as these young people were.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all. I'm trying to make a situation that was disrespectful to you better.
When I was their age, okay, I used to go down to Cobbler's Creek to fish, and if we caught a frog, we ate that for dinner. Okay?
Okay.
There wasn't there smiling. There was no laughing.
Okay.
There was no singing or whistling.
Sir, you want me to tell these children not to smile or sing just because of an old...
No more walking about with a carefree air. Don't wave your youth in everyone's face.
Okay, I will tell the... That's all I can do, sir, is to tell the...
I had this kid the other day, 71 years old, this kid, loud mouth in the wheelchair, spinning around, waving it in my face.
Okay.
The only thing I like, there's one fella up the way, he's 91. I wave it in his face every day. Look at me go, look at me go. Well, everybody's got somebody to tease. That's what keeps us all alive, I suppose.
Okay, sir.
And so if they see an older man, don't go flaunting your youth.
Okay, sir. I will make sure to tell
don't
the wife.
Flaunt the youth.
Okay, I will tell the teen.
Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye.
Wasting my time.
Hey, I'm Owen Kirk.
Wasting everyone's time. Sorry.
As the Petrich Farm man.
Yeah.
Yeah, people.
That's sad.
I've oftentimes thought about the logic in making fun of the elderly, which we do. You know, it's always, say, Grandpa, your diaper's filled. Now, I understand about making fun of a group that you're not going to be part of one day.
Right.
You know, you want to go after albinos or Puerto Ricans.
Right.
That's shrewd.
Especially an albino Puerto Rican.
Right.
That just make me laugh right there.
Blacks, Mexicans, whatever you're not in black, go after white or Mexican. You understand. But don't
Absolutely.
Go after old. Because you're going to be old.
We shouldn't, but I think that's just self-hatred. That's just you getting your... It's like, when I see an old person driving real slow, I just... All I can think is... And I just think, I don't want to be like that, and I'm gonna.
Right.
I hope people make fun of me.
So then you get angry and sort of turn on them.
I'm mad
right,
at
that's
age.
How we deal with our mortality.
That's right.
Okay. See, I never
see me in a cemetery.
What's
Boy,
that like?
Nothing makes me madder than a cemetery.
Really?
Get up!
You messy bastard.
Hey,
yeah.
Up.
Let's go. That's right. Snooze bars drive me nuts, Grandpa. Let's go. Let's get out of the casket.
How old were you when you decided that you were going to get old? Because it has just recently occurred to me, and I'm 47.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, no.
It's news to me.
I think I started really hating old people. And I mean, by that, I mean hating that I'm going to get old when I was about 26, 27.
Healthy.
I remember making fun of old people starting then, like really.
That's when you began your...
Like I'd had enough of them walking around reminding me that I'm going to be like that. Drive slow, move slow.
You must
stand
be-
there at the aisle, the checkout aisle, and discuss. You know that
right.
feeling where you go, come on, you've been to the grocery store, you're 80. You've
right.
been here many times.
Yeah.
Don't pretend you don't know how it works.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that thing
yeah.
of like, don't act like you don't know how this works,
right.
whatever
old,
it is.
Old Gertie's trying to hammer a traveler's check and getting the same conversation
yeah,
she got
to,
every week for the last 70
yeah,
years.
Like,
we don't cash those here.
Yeah, it's not like you grew up in the 40s, but then were put away and then taken out last week.
Right.
Right. It's not a Austin Powers.
Yeah. You watch things progress very, very slowly in the world.
I agree. And this isn't just for old people. It's for crazy people and inconsiderate people. When you go to the liquor store, especially when you're just buying the one can of soda.
Right.
And there's somebody who's in front of you.
Right.
And I was behind a guy last night who was buying 6 bottles of Clamato.
All right, first of all, that guy's got an issue.
And a box of chocolates that had spilled, and I had to recount them. And then the discussion, it was $2.50 for each Clamato.
Right.
The guy was outraged. I would need $2.50 to take a sip off of one of them.
Right.
But it was the point is a long line of people were starting to gather behind the guy right. because of his protracted Clamato discussion
right, right.
and all this. And Don't you feel it when people are gathering behind you, sort of waiting on you? Isn't that the most uncomfortable feeling in the world?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, once in a while you're at the ATM and it spits your card out and you have to redo it again and you hear the collective sigh of the four people that are standing behind you.
Yeah.
Doesn't every second feel like an hour at that point?
It does, absolutely.
Well, what is that part where you can ignore it completely?
I know, maybe
and just
it's
have the...
when you get old. You just feel like you can't hear anyone or see anyone in your peripheral vision.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you don't care suddenly... about your manners. Like, my grandma's in her 90s. She lives at the old folks' home in Northridge. And I love her. I love going to see her. I mostly keep her from tipping over on her walker because she starts listening to the side. But we spend most of the time just yelling at her, Grandma, Chew, don't talk. Because she starts chewing and talking and spitting. She doesn't care. She does not care.
No. When did she start that?
Yeah. Well,
about 80.
She, okay, good.
You don't care when you get older.
Don't
the point
care.
Is...
Because you're dying soon?
Yeah. So you know what you do? You grab women's asses.
Yes.
You walk around in your pajamas.
Free to be.
Yeah, and I walk around in my pajamas now, so one could only imagine what I'll be wearing. Probably just like a pasty over my testicles.
But Bob, you're still young and vibrant.
That's
with a
right.
lot of projects.
Really? That's right. No, Derek and Simon, the show.
I have a show on, it's called superdeluxe.com. You should check it out. It's a website with funny short films and things that comics have made.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the usual thing where, you know, people... film each other falling down at weddings and send that in.
Right.
Or changing their t-shirt.
Right.
Oh, that's, you know, well, that's there. You can find it.
Is this more along the lines of the Will Ferrell, the landlord type
thing? Like Funny or Die, it is a little bit more like that. It's like someone made it. Someone made a comedy film.
Well,
and these are, my shorts are with these two guys, Derek and Simon. They're just these two idiots who are, they're actually really great actors, these two guys. And they're two kind of nerdy dudes, 27 years old, just trying to get laid.
Well,
failing.
God bless them.
Are you on?
Yeah, it's pathetic.
Is Bob Odenkirk on camera, or are you
I play
directing?
The acting teacher in one of the little scenarios.
Are you a
there.
Good teacher?
An acting teacher with a horrible Barney Frank lisp.
Really?
Who's always talking about, is it just me, or is the voiceover business dead in this town? I think there's no auditions. I mean, what's going on? And
do the rest of the interview in that voice. Would you, Bob?
Very funny.
Is it me, Adam? I mean, do they not use voiceovers anymore? They use them.
I seem like I've heard them, but it's probably just one guy.
I think they backlogged them. Something happened.
What kind of acting tips do you give?
You know, stare at the audience, look right at them. Don't look at the person on stage with you, because that's just they want to connect with you.
Sure. So, what's that fourth wall there for? But not
everything
to be broken
should be
down.
Like a radio play. Just removing the mic.
Do we think that I was talking to someone about I'm going to do Tom Green's internet show, and I was talking to Dr. Drew about it a week ago, and he said, this is the future.
I think it is. I really do.
And the internet, maybe there was a false alarm that we had with the dot-com boom 10 years ago, where everyone had an internet fill-in-the-blank, and it was worth millions of hypothetical dollars, although it's really worth nothing.
Right.
But there's a renaissance now,
you know what
and
it
maybe
is?
This is it.
It's high-speed internet. It's
that's
just the
what
fact
did it.
That we now have high-speed, so now you can watch a short film. If you go to superdeluxe.com and you tap on Derek and Simon, it plays.
Right.
And, you know, remember when we, I know exactly what you're talking about. Remember they had Z Channel, I think it was called, or Channel Z?
Yes.
And they pumped money into this. And a lot of our friends got big deals to create shows. And they had me down to there. They bought buildings.
No,
they had 40 people running. Nobody had high-speed internet, so they couldn't watch these shows.
It was a weird time. Like, you'd talk to people, bringing up Dr. Drew again, and he'd be like, our manager would go, you know, drdrew.com is worth $53 million, and it's only a week old. And I'd go, well, it's only worth $53 million if someone will pay $53 million. Oh, no, that's how much it's worth. But it's all in this weird ether hypothetical world where it's not really worth anything unless someone will cut a check, and no one ever cut a check.
I mean, what's happening now is you have, you know, people watching The Office on their iPod.
Right.
They're watching movies that way. I mean, those
it's officially on. We've been talking about it for 5 or 10 years, but now it's on.
But the game itself makes me nervous. In the beginning, see, I think, and this is the only good part about getting old and dying, is while you're doing superdeluxe.com, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be real quality. That's going to be something you can tune into. I'm thinking immediately upon my death, people right. will only be watching their own channel starring them.
Yeah,
you know, right. you are, people don't, I don't know who, how many people, you know, I've known Bob 15 years.
Yeah, we did so. The Ben Stiller show together. I wrote a piece. That's, you hosted. It was really funny.
It was, oh, really? It was really, really funny. Funny. And also, you know, he also...
That was a great show, the Ben Stiller show.
Yeah, it was a great show. He's, done, he's written for some of the smartest shows on television.
Dennis
so
Miller.
If you go with this, Dennis Miller, exactly, you're going to see some quality. My
right.
fear is mm-hmm. that pretty soon... You know, Andy Warhol's old comment will not only be correct, but it won't be for 15 minutes. It will be for your lifetime.
Yeah,
everyone will be famous because they'll have their channel.
I don't know what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot to watch, and you're right, a lot of it's going to be crap. And it, the thing that's I'm not sure about yet, Adam, is that is whether people are willing to watch, like we made up stories. It's almost like a little sitcom. You know, this Derek and Simon show, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure, I think people are still a little bit, it's going to take them a little while to get used to watching new characters behind, you know, like in their own little world,
mm-hmm.
you know, acting out stories. So,
well,
but I know what you're saying, Danny. I think, a lot of what's on the internet is just people embarrassing themselves with like their personal diaries.
Right.
Right. Well, I was just watching, even people you know, like I was just watching Rosie's blog on CNN this morning.
You'll hear that here at 9.
And she's just sitting there with her Diesel Dyke friend, and she's wearing a schmart on her hair, and she's like, you know, Elizabeth, you know, I consider us friends, but, and it's like, really, do we need... First off, we could condense this into about 8 seconds, which you're putting, what's taking an hour on the net. But do we need to hear everyone's thoughts on everything all the time?
I think people are just still so excited about this thing, you know,
right.
that they're just watching anything.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's probably like early TV.
Yeah. You know what
or
it's
the
like?
The first movies
you know,
where they made a movie of people exiting a factory.
Right. You know what it was like? To me, it was like the first time you walked down the street or you went into a mall and they had the bank of TV sets in the window and the camera.
Right.
Remember that?
That's right.
And you all of a sudden became early man. It's like you stopped and you saw the side of your head on the TV set and you're like, so that you tried that first move where you turned real fast to see if you could get a frontal shot, but it didn't work because the camera's in the upper left hand part. You did that four or five times.
Trying to look at yourself.
Then you do that thing where you're raising your hand and waving it around and staring like a chimp in a mirror.
Right.
And we're in the 80s
at this point.
Right. Very, very, very sadly. But it reminded me of that. The first time you could see moving images of yourself.
Yeah.
Now it's the first time you can be on people's computers.
It's great to see those people who are such oddballs who are like, well, day 32. She still hasn't looked at me. I did my impersonation, my Schwarzenegger impersonation for her.
The beat
I think
fast
she laughed.
Continues.
She might have
right. Bob Odenkirk, is there a human need to blog?
No, there's no need to blog. And you know how great, it's great to journal. You should journal because you can throw those away.
Right. The blog will
no
be
one
out
will
there
ever
forever.
See them.
Yeah.
Well, you can go to superdeluxe.com to check out Derek and Simon, the show, and see Bob Odenkirk doing his lispy voiceover. Artist who can't find any work. Also, Comedy by the Numbers, a
book
that he
I'm gonna leave you a copy
contributed
of it.
To.
Thank
oh,
you.
I'd like to see it.
It's really funny.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, two guys that will soon be stars on the internet, Ozzy and Ray. Ozzy came over and brought me 18 birthday presents on Sunday.
Sweet.
And then brought me a big thing of pie, and then we all sat down and ate pie. My birthday was Sunday. I guess the word's out. I enjoy pie over cake, and thus
right.
the pie are...
what kind of pie?
It's pie in the sky. I like all pie except for not a huge fan of the mincemeat pie. But look, if you're going to put meat and weird things like that in, it's not exactly pie.
It's not pie. Pie is a dessert.
Number one pie is apple, right?
Right. Everything you wrap in a tortilla is not a burrito.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's going to be the name of my next comedy
book. The
more
you know.
Yeah, I like the apple. To me, the best dessert, you can do more complicated, but you can't do better
than a nice slice of apple pie a la mode, warmed with the ice cream melting into it.
It's all right. You made it sound good just then.
I had a cream pie for dessert last night.
What would the voiceover guy sound like?
There's nothing more delightful or American than a slice of apple pie with some warm ice cream.
Okay, let's try that one again. Let's do that one again.
Say, I think we had a little. You popped on a slice of apple pie. Let's try it again.
Yes. Pop on the
take two. Also, take two on the Chevy commercial.
The ice cream is not technically warm.
Mm-hmm. The heated ice cream heats up the cold pie, and a delightful flavor just drifts through your mouth.
Sorry, let's pick up slice again. Let's pick up slice and drift.
So, next time you're at the grocery, pick up some hot ice cream.
Just give me three wild slices.
Slice.
Oh, God.
Give me three wild drifts through your mouth. Just three. Give me a variety.
Drips into your mouth.
Uh-huh. I stepped on the first one. Let's try it again.
I think I said drift instead of drift.
Let's do drifts through your mouth. Three wild. Let me cue you.
My tongue got all
okay,
twisted.
Well, have a sip of water. Three wild.
Sip of water, and I'll get right to it.
A sip, right. Three wild drifts through your mouth, please, and I think we should be able to just cherry pick it here. Hold on. I'm stepping on you again.
Sure.
Let me Q-tape. Q-tape. And
take and drift through your mouth. Drift through your mouth. Drift through your mouth.
I think we can use one of those. I think we got one. We'll use the drift from the first take, the through from the second, your mouth from the third.
I am never going to get tired of this.
That's good stuff. Okay, that's a wrap. Let's do Coke. I mean lunch. Bob Odenkirk, everybody.
Thanks.
Let him drift through your mouth. Ray and Ozzy next, a review of Pirates of the Caribbean next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Oswaldo reviews the movies, but they always leave him cold. We don't know what the hell you said. Can't tell if it's crap or if it's gold. Ozzy, don't know what you said. In that review that you just read, Ozzy, why do movies always leave you cold?
Before we get into the review, just a quick heads up. Go to AdamCarolla.com because we will either see you Thursday at the Bonaducci Bachelor Party on the Sunset Strip.
Very excited.
Or I'll see you Friday over at the Skirball Center. Or I'll see you Monday at my movie premiere, all free.
Yes. Now, how does one go to your movie premiere?
Yeah. One goes to AdamCarolla.com and clicks on the thing and leaves your address, and we will see if we can accommodate you. We should be able to, but again, it's first come, first serve, as is the Key Club, as is Skirball. So the point is when stuff is good and stuff is free, you got to get there early, and you got to get there often.
Okay, mine
it's
involves...
like following a dead tour.
Mine involves all of us and hopefully naked chicks. So it's a seller. Adam's, the Skirball thing, even Adam's not quite sure what he's doing, which usually leads to something spectacular.
I will be blowing hard.
I'll tell you what, it's a Q&A.
That's exactly what
I will be interviewed, and there's no topic I like better than me.
Yeah, and I know that will be good. Now, here's my actual real question. Let's say you are one of your coworkers, and you really wanted to go. Would there be like a special secret handshake?
To the Skirball Center or to the movie?
No, I hear you blow hard every day, man.
Oh, yes, yeah, yes.
Yeah. To the movie.
To the movie. Yeah, we'll get you in if you're over here. We have like 100 tickets for CBS employees or what have you. All right, so AdamCarolla.com to come see The Hammer. My daughter, by the way, doing the ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Whenever I start talking, she does that now.
So how does this go? You're home and say you're trying to explain to somebody the plot of The Hammer.
No, it's usually me talking to Ozzy, and it goes a little something like, Ozzy, how many times do I have to tell you? Base shoe, not quarter round. Quarter round looks like a cheap apartment building. Base shoe is what you need. Now, what part of base and shoe don't you... That's what happens. She hears me talking and starts, and now my wife has trained her. Because this is my wife. This is what she considers a When she comes, this is time well spent for my wife. She trains my kids to humiliate me. Right. So that when I get home, she says, guess what I taught Natalia? And I say, what? And she says, Natalia, what does daddy do? What does daddy do? And she starts moving her hand like she's flat, like it's gums flapping. And then she says, what else does daddy do?
That's cute.
Right. Yeah. Why don't you teach her how to stab me with a crocheting needle when daddy's snapping?
That is fine.
Thank you.
That's next month.
I'm glad you're contributing around the house. All right. Ozzy.
Good morning, America.
There you
go. Happy birthday 2 days ago.
Yeah, thank you.
Adam Carolla.
I was unaware of that too. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Today is Ray's birthday. Happy birthday.
Ray. Happy birthday. Hoffer's birthday today. All right, Ozzy. Let's get it going with the movie review. And our splashy new opening.
And Ray.
Tell us about the movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo.
And Ray.
Tell us.
The movie that Ray and Egg say saw this weekend was Pirates of the Caribbean at World End. It's a star, Johnny Depp.
Can I say this quickly? Because I'm hearing a lot of Pirates of the Caribbean, Pirates of the Caribbean. It's starting to dawn on me that East Coasters think of it as the Caribbean and West Coasters think of it as the Caribbean. I grew up out here, even though I only grew up seeing pictures of Disneyland through a Viewmaster I ripped off from the neighbor kid, never actually went there in the flesh. I still knew it was called Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
The ride was always Pirates of the Caribbean. It was never Pirates of the Caribbean. Even on the East Coast, it was probably Pirates of the Caribbean. So why do we get so confused about the movie title when it's based on the ride?
I think the person to ask this is Ozzy.
Ozzy?
It's for remaining, the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Thank you for shedding light on that.
Good call, Dave. Good stuff. Phrase.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry for all the time. Takes Ozzy a while to reboot.
Johnny Depp is Captain Jack
Johnny
Sparrow.
Johnny who?
Depp.
Johnny Depp.
Is Captain Jack Sparrow.
Sparrow.
Orlando Bloom is Will Turner, and Keira Knightley is Elizabeth Swann. Pirates of the Caribbean 3.
Now it's Korea.
Is a sequel movie under the same name about pirates.
Starring Kim Chi.
The film is a fantastic adventure about the seven seas.
Seven seas.
Yeah. No soup, the Chinese make it.
What?
No Chinese soup. No soup of the Chinese made it. That's what he said.
It's not the soup of the Chinese.
They drink a seven sea soup?
I have not.
Sweet and sour?
No.
All right, I'm not going to argue with you about food. Soup. You're going to win. All right.
Go to a Chinese restaurant, man.
Done and done.
Okay, man.
Is it real seven sea?
Okay.
Yeah.
The movie about black magic and the dark world with fantastic character for big and small human being to enjoy. To me, it's an special.
It's special.
Wait, big and small human beings, human adults and children?
All right.
Or dwarves and regular folks?
Yeah, you saw it Sunday with your kids and your wife?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
I tried to go Saturday, but also loud.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the number one movie this weekend, right?
Made $142 million.
Eight theaters in Universal presentation of the same movie.
Eight theaters. Wow.
Here is a clip Captain Jack Sparrow fighting about the giving order to the Black Pearl.
What are you?
Hold on. Do we even need to hear it after that setup?
I feel like I already heard it.
I just saw it in my mind.
No, I'm going to skip it now. I was going to take the kid, but no. What are you doing?
Captain gives orders on the ship.
The captain of the ship is given orders.
My ship makes me captain.
They be my charts.
That makes you charter.
They be boring.
They've been getting working a lot of comedy in with Jack Sparrow.
No, they're not.
No? No. But they're trying to.
They're making an attempt.
Listen, they had a lot of CGI, and it was a lot of napping for Ray.
Really?
2.5 hours.
Why? And again, everyone's, I bring this up every time there's a sequel, but they make it 40 minutes too long, and that's everyone's beef. Why? I mean, why not just tighten it up, make people happy, and save $100 million in production costs?
Listen, that was the most dialogue in the whole thing.
I have a bigger beef. You got Johnny Depp and the high seas and a hot chick and swords. How do you F that up? Well, how do you not make that bitchin'?
I think they managed to, right? Did they manage to?
Listen, I would have rather been at the DMV.
Really?
Wow.
Absolutely.
How about Keith Richards? I heard he had a great cameo.
Yeah, about 40 seconds worth.
That's it.
Well, that's a decent portion of the remaining lifetime.
By the way, Keith Richards has turned into your auntie. I mean, he's
turned into a chick?
Absolutely. It's really bizarre.
And how old is he? In his mid-60s, late-60s?
You can't tell because he's kind of preserved, but he has eyeliner on, and he's got a feminine look. I don't know when you turn the corner and go back to girl, but something happened.
Well, you stop producing testosterone, and that's what happens. Ozzy?
Yes?
You want to take it home?
No, I continue reading review.
Wow. Right. Oh, okay.
That wasn't really a request.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
That was a wrap it up, buddy.
I think Pirates of Caribbean coming back, we out soon in numerical sequel.
I think so. The Pirates of Korea are going to have a sequel?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I sure, man.
All right.
I'll say Pirates of Caribbean, our war end, left the reviewer cold.
And Ray.
World's End. So, Rayzo, you went out, you brought a tape recorder, and you went out to Disneyland.
Yep, World Gala.
Mm-hmm. And you talked to some celebrities?
I did.
Who'd you get?
Let me think. Carrie-Anne Alba.
From Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. She's one of the judges.
Mm-hmm. And there was about 120 people walking that red carpet. Mm-hmm. And I got the best of all of them, though. I got John Voight.
Mm-hmm.
For real? Cool.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Keith Richards.
Wow. All right. Well, good. Let's hear that. This is, will we hear him broken up, or are we going to hear him all the way through? So we'll start with John Voight. All right. Let's start with John Voight.
John, how you doing? Preference. Give me a preference. Billy Bob. Or Brad?
Oh, no, we don't talk about that stuff.
All right.
Not afraid to go in with a hard question.
Wow, Ray.
I knew that about Ray. I learned that about Ray when Ray was 19, and his mom had left his dad and hooked up with the best friend of the family or the family friends, like as if you guys, you know, you and your whoever broke up and you just took up with the guy who used to come over and play bridge as a couple.
Oh,
you took
all that.
But I knew Ray didn't shy away from the hard-hitting questions when one day he confronted his mother in the kitchen. I happened to be standing there, and he said, Mom, whose penis is bigger, Dad's or Jim's? This guy's name was Jim.
Just to clarify, did he use the word penis or a worse word?
I think it started with a C, but we're not allowed to say it.
Just to paint a picture, that's what you said to your mom.
Apparently, of course it's what I said to my mom. What do you want to know?
Now the point is Ray didn't say this. He didn't say to me, hey, man, give me $20 and I'll go.
Right.
He didn't say, watch this. He didn't say, come into the kitchen. I'm going to ask my mom a question. Oh, no. We were just talking.
Did she have an answer?
Of course she had an answer.
She's Ray's mom.
Do it in her German accent, Ray.
What do you mean?
Ray pressed on.
Ma, listen, who's more hung? You know, give it to me straight. Jim or Dad? Jim has more girth. Dad's was longer.
Diplomatic German.
So comfortable for a 19-year-old Adam Carolla struggling with his own sexuality. Having to listen to this.
It's nice to know there's somebody with fewer personal boundaries than I have.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. Just everyone, imagine you asking your mother about the penis size of your dad and her new man.
I'm in a sweat just thinking about that.
So am I right now.
Yeah. Ray had to know. All right, so we have another clip, by the way. We have Keith Richards.
Ray's perfectly suited for this.
Yeah.
Keith! Keith! Keith, did you or did you not smoke some of your dad? Keith! Did you or did you not smoke dad? Thanks, Keith.
That means he did.
Give me a thumbs up.
He gave me one of these.
Keith is a horrible name for Keith Richards.
Does not suit him.
No, first off, he's a Brit, he's a guitar player, he does tons of drugs, he falls out of trees. It's not a Keith.
Yeah. It's not a Keith name.
He's fantastic, though.
There's no other guy named Keith who's as big a troublemaker and as big a rocker as he is.
I cannot think of any hard guy at all.
He's been on a different planet for the last 35 years, please. He's fantastic.
Planet Keith.
I dig that he's 100 and fell out of a coconut tree in Fiji. I mean, how cool. I got to cancel his show. Why? Kidney stones, you old geezer? No, man. I fell out of a coconut tree in Fiji.
And went for the permanent eyeliner way before it was hip.
Yeah. Right. All right, so Ray, because it's your birthday and we're running late for break, I know you'd like to talk to your mother, who is horrified listening to you right now on the radio.
Hi, Ma. Who's bigger now?
No, that's not the question. You want to tell her something?
Yeah, Ma, tonight's dinner request. Here we go. Sauerbraten, beans and spätzle, kartoffel, and I want some German chocolate cake. Sorry, Ace. If you can make German chocolate pie, go for that. But German chocolate cake. And you're allowed to buy the cake, but everything else you have to make.
All right.
Hop to it, Ma.
All right. Request from Ray. Ray, who's, as I've said,
she'll do it too.
Used to walk into the kitchen. Poor mom, live in an apartment. Three brothers running around. Rich, Rob, and Ronnie. One of those families.
Wait a minute. Poor mom. How many meals did that Ma cook for you?
Who, my mom?
No, mine.
Oh, your mom?
For you.
Well, easily more than my mom cooked for me. Quite a bit easier.
How would I know that?
Yes. Listen, Corolla parents, does it bother you that someone else's parents who live in an apartment cooked much more?
How should I know?
Yes. Oh, Ray's mom, I did a ton of eating over there. But Ray, well, two things. One is I remember explaining to Jimmy how lame it was that Ray's family did one of those things where they named everyone after the first letter.
Right.
It was the same. I was like, Ray comes from one of those retarded families where you got Ray, Rob, Rich, and Ronnie. They all had to name like there's some sort of law you had to name. And then Jimmy goes, yeah, maybe you should tell that to my sister Joan, my brother John, or my dad Jim Sr. And I went, oh, yeah. That's
always,
right.
It's just dawned on
you.
Then you switch gears. You know, it works. You guys pull it off.
You guys pull it off.
Well, yeah, it's okay. Good on you.
It's okay for Jay's.
Right, Jay's
R's, lame.
It's weird
Jay's,
on an R.
Great idea.
No middle names either.
Really?
No, just the oldest, Rob.
We're kindred spirits. All right, so, yeah, Ray would walk into the kitchen late after I slept over there at 11 in the morning. His mom would yell at him, no more pancakes, I'm not a restaurant. Ray would walk over to Young Rich's plate, fire a snot rocket into his lumberjack stack and go, well, now you have to cook more for the guy who was here on time.
Wow.
That's right, Ray. Nice work, buddy. We'll take ourselves a break when we come back. Music Monday on a Tuesday. Well, we weren't here yesterday, but we pushed it back a day. Bachelor party songs, not strip club songs, although there's a little commingling here, but bachelor party songs. When you're having a bachelor party, what do you want pumping? And more importantly, what don't you want to hear at the bachelor party? 866-901-ADAM. This is a tribute to Mr. Bonaducci, who's having a bachelor party here Thursday night, Key Club. Music Mondays, bachelor party songs, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's Music Monday, this time on Tuesday. Danny Bonaducci's bachelor party is Thursday night, so in honor of that, we are playing the best and the worst bachelor party songs of all time. Call 866-901-ADAM. Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yep. Now, again, we did good and bad strip club songs, and this is a close cousin to the strip club. They're related, but they're not exactly the same person. This is bachelor party music. Oh, there'll be some lap dancing going on, but there'll be some boozing and some gambling and some good times as well.
One of the big things is that a bachelor party precedes a wedding, and as much sex talks as we are having, I am in fact looking for love. I wish to be in love. I've made that clear. So that is a clear distinction between a strip club and a bachelor party.
He may be looking for love as many as seven times in one evening.
No, I'm saying I was saying that I was capable of that. And
well,
I would love to have meaningless sex with as many women as possible before I find my true love, but that's what I'm after. is Mrs. Bonaducci too. That is what I would like to not necessarily find at our party, but that is my mission. I don't like being single. I like being out of a team.
Well, our mission, or my mission, is to hear some kick-ass bachelor party songs as well as the worst possible, yes, worst possible choice. We have the good, we have the bad, the bachelor parties, 7 o'clock Key Club, 31st, this Thursday. First, my good. Yeah. Little band called Lit. Nice guys.
Yeah. Can we forget about cool. I said when
I was drunk? It's bouncy and fun. I didn't mean to
call you that. Yeah, it's a good song, and it's about a song about getting loaded and doing something stupid, which is what you want to hear at a bachelor party. Turn up, Brian. See, I can see myself drinking, slapping a chick on the ass, blowing a little cigar smoke into someone's face.
My only development with this song is the behavior of this song is exactly why I'm about to be a bachelor again.
Right.
Well, extra meaningful.
This is real life to me. She got tired of the car being on the front lawn and me naked in the street.
Now, a horrible, horrible selection. Spanky and Our Gang.
But I'd like to get to know you.
Yes, I would.
But I'd like to get to know.
Who is this?
Spanky and Our Gang. There's a whole year when pussified white guys just sung about being friends, get to know you. Yeah. The brothers knew it. They were honest. They were singing about getting with you and getting on you.
Right. Yeah.
And then getting on your sister and rolling like a stone. But white guys would be like, and I'd like to get to know you. Now here's where he explains the rules of the relationship. Oh, and he'll get to the point where he's like, I don't want to bring you down, and I don't want to do... See, this is what the Summer of Love brought us, everyone.
God. Can you imagine if the songs told the real story?
Yes.
I'd like to ruin your life. I'd like to cheat on you with all your friends. Yes, I would.
Guys wearing fur vests in page boy haircuts singing about getting to know ya.
I can't promise that I'll spend a day with you. I can't promise that
all right. Horrible bachelor party music. Let's go to another in the good department. A little band called Judas Priest. I don't even like Judas Priest, but I like this song. And again, it's sort of an anthem for anyone who's partying after the streetlights are on.
Very nice.
Where it's a gay guy singing about this.
Yeah.
He can love after midnight?
Dude, from what I understand, they don't even start till around 2.
Yeah, in San Francisco, we used to have the sidewalk sale. That's when the bars empty out and everyone's on the sidewalk.
We used to wait for Last Chance by Donna Summer, and that's when the fat girls had a chance.
Yeah, when you see Rob Halford sporting the full leather outfit, and now you know he's gay, and you look back on it, and you go, oh, yeah, just like your older brother was about the Village People.
Like, what?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Or your mom was about Liberace.
Right. Please.
Come on.
The guy was bedazzled before Bonaducci could lift a bedazzler.
I thought he was a bon vivant.
That's what I thought, too. The first word that came to my mind.
Bon vivant. Let's go to my next in the bad department. T, this baby's for you. Liza Minnelli.
It's Liza with a Z, not Lisa with an S.
I love this song. Lisa with an S. No, it's Z. She's a great singer.
This can be a C, Liza.
She's a tard.
Did you see Cabaret?
Yes.
That's one of the great performances in cinematic history.
She mucked out the fat.
Excuse me.
Liza with a Z is almost too gay for me.
Backwards, I'd be Ada. Or if my name were Ruth,
it would be surreal if you were at a bachelor party. You're standing at the bar. How do you know, Stu? We work together. Cool.
say, listen to the phrasing.
Not place it with an S, because place it with an S goes snuzz. It's Z instead of S. Mine's been a bleed.
How do you even know this?
I'm going to get an 8-ball, and I'm pretty sure.
And that is only half of it. There's another way they treat me.
I'm pretty sure I can get the stripper at the stretch marks into the bathroom for $20. The hot one, no go. I already tested those wires. Don't waste your time.
Why is this on your radar? I need to know.
And the show has reached a new low.
I have a...
on your gaydar.
For some reason, there are some subjects that grab better attention than others, and obviously this was one for Adam.
I have a weird... I have a brain like one of those things that spits out ping pong balls when they do the lottery show.
Yeah.
This thing, I was just walking Molly yesterday trying to think of crappy songs for a bachelor party, and Liza with a Z's ping pong balls came out.
Please tell me you were singing it aloud.
It hasn't popped out of the hopper in a long time, but it popped out while I was walking Molly yesterday. All right, let's hurry up now. Let's go to my next in the good department, Beck, 1999. Love the horns. Sex Laws, name of the song.
I never know songs till they start singing. When people say, oh, this song, I don't know till there.
Now, again, not a lap dance song per se, just a we're having a good time, we're getting loaded, there's nudity, there's good times to be had. Dig this song. All right, let's go to my bad now. This is... going way back to 1968. Glenn Campbell, everybody.
I was going to say hard to go wrong with Glenn Campbell, but you did it.
Oh, we're going wrong.
I love Glenn Campbell.
Man.
I am a lineman for the county.
This is going to be one of the great
songs. A lineman?
Yeah. He drives the main road.
No,
he's a lineman.
Working on telephone lines. See, this is if this gets played at the bachelor party at 8:15, everyone starts looking at their watch. Well, it's time to wrap it up.
Although some of them,
I got a woman waiting at home. She's a good woman. Honest.
Why am I here?
You just start feeling riddled with guilt.
Yeah. Ugh. I'm disgusted at me. I'm gonna get some Lyman Dykes. I'm gonna go ahead and put my spikes on. In my steel shank boots, I'm going to climb that pole, and then I'm going home to love that woman of mine.
I know I need
yep.
a small
it was a simpler
vacation.
Time when people would just sing about, you know, municipal jobs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was I Drive a Street Sweeper.
Remember that one, I Put Down the Cones?
I Put Down the Cones for
I
the
answer,
county.
I Answer Phones.
I Put Down the Cones that make the whole world swerve.
And I've been working for Caltrans for about 20 years. And I'm putting down the cones. And the Caltrans cone man is still on the line. Yeah, sure.
Very important.
All right, T, what do you got in the good and the bad department?
Okay, well, this is specifically for Danny's bachelor party, so I wanted something raw and hard-rocking and distinctive. This is a song called Young Lust.
Little Pink Floyd for you.
A little dark, which I think
yeah,
is good.
Not upbeat, but this is, the strippers have left, and it's time to go to the second phase. Who's
yeah.
in, who's out? I'm getting some blow. It's only 2:30. Nobody's going to sleep.
You know,
we're going back out.
It's a really good choice because I can tell. I don't really know this song, and I can tell you if somebody picked this, something really bad is happening now.
And he needs a dirty woman.
That what he says?
Yeah.
I thought he said married woman.
No, the fringe people are gone.
Dirty.
Dirty
girl. Good.
Right,
solid as Sears, T. Nice. All right, give us the bad.
Okay, this is not only a show tune, it's also sung by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
So it's a bunch of dudes.
Dudes.
I don't know if they all qualify.
Oh,
You may have trumped my Liza with a Z.
I'm not sure. No, yeah, okay. I could not get an erection to this.
No. Mine just went away.
Well, right. Mine went away, but I actually had finished during another part of the show.
You're in your refractory period. All right, that is good and horrible. Danny, give us the good.
Well, and the good is fine, because I just did something a little different from you guys on the rest and stayed on this planet. So, for my first good, you can't go wrong.
Boys are back in town. Right down. Thin Lizzy.
That's it. That's bachelor party. The chicks are, as much as I hate to say this, because they're the focus of my life, the chicks are secondary to a real bachelor party.
Yeah.
We shouldn't even be there, except to have sex with us.
Right. All right.
Or to do other humiliating acts that you'll be ashamed of yourself for.
Sure.
Yeah.
Boys back in town.
Guess who just got back today?
Yeah, this is a classic.
But you know what's great? This one, the fringe people are still there, where everybody's still having a good time.
Right.
The song you picked, they're gone. And it's down to the Nasty Boys.
The Pink Floyd, yeah.
It's down to the Nasty Boys that are going to do it.
All right, Danny, give us the bad song, the song you don't want playing at the bachelor party.
This might be a little close to home. T-Bone Walker with Alimony Blues.
Wow.
Not a real catchy tune. Not a real well-known tune.
But how could you go wrong with this?
Dude, the numbers that were thrown out were astronomical.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Alimony Blues.
So that's all you're going to get out of T-Bone right there.
Oh, it's an instrumental called Alimony?
No, yeah, but it'll be a while. It'll be a long time. But you just don't want to hear it. You guys probably don't know this feeling as well as I do. If you've ever had somebody front you, meaning give you without pay, you'll pay them later, a bunch of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 days later, you're coming down. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And your nose is bleeding and you feel like crap and you're just sick to your stomach and everybody hates you and you missed work. And then you realize, I owe somebody money for this.
Right.
That's what this song
painted
out.
What it feels
at
like.
At a bachelor party.
Well, good choices, folks. We'll take a quick break. Music Monday on a Tuesday. We'll take your phone calls at 866-901-ADAM. And we'll be back with our number one songs. Now, we don't know what each other's songs are, so I'm just as curious as you guys are. Oh, I promise you mine will not disappoint. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Back to Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show, the best and the worst bachelor party songs of all time. Call in with yours at 866-901-ADAM. And now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Music Monday on a Tuesday, best and worst bachelor party songs. Not strip joint songs per se, but bachelor party songs. We're getting to all our number ones. First, my number twos in the good department, little band called AC/DC, 1980.
Shake Me All Night Long?
Yes, I will, Strasser.
Is that right?
This is an amazing song.
Yeah. It's a little what I like to call effed out, but that doesn't mean it's not a great song.
It's a great song.
I think it's one of my favorites.
It's not the kind of music I listen to, so I haven't heard it as many times as you probably have.
I remember trying to decipher the words because my older brother would listen to it, and I couldn't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
She was a fast machine. She kept her motor clean. What? What's that mean?
Be talking about some mode of transportation.
Because my dad was a mechanic. I thought maybe she cleaned out her carburetor.
He cleaned out the carburetor.
That's right. All right. You Shook Me All Night Long, AC/DC. Great song for bachelor party. Bad, horrible song for bachelor party.
Golden Girls theme song.
Yes. Sad that you got that two notes into it, T.
Wow.
This would break the party up pretty
quick.
Okay,
but one of them, Rose, was hot.
Oh, my God. I'm gay.
All right, that is... is a horrible strip club song. Not as good as my number one song, but T, first yes. yours in the good department.
All right. Well, I was just looking for something fluffy and completely lacking in nutritive value, so I came up with this.
Hanging around downtown by myself, and I had so much time to sit down and think about myself, and then there she was, like double cherry pie.
I love Spot. I know the song well, but I can't remember who like sings it.
One hit wonder.
Yeah. I smell sex and
Marcy Playground.
That's yeah, right. Marcy Playground is sort of between Beck and Cake.
Yeah.
Sort of talky, singy. Yeah. All right. Slow. But again,
some kind of food.
Not everything's about the lap dance.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, good. Now give me the bad. Number one worst song to play at a bachelor party.
All right, it's the night before you're getting married, and I think possibly you want to have a good attitude, and this song's going to give you a very bad one.
Dude, I think I'm going to cry. I swear to God.
I'm sorry.
Why is this song called Taps?
You know, I wonder that, too. I have no idea. It used to just be the Lights Out song.
No, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an anagram. It's,
Oh.
Now I've got an acronym.
Acronym.
Acronym,
yes.
I believe it's an acronym.
For what?
An acronym. I can't remember the life of me. I couldn't remember the word acronym.
Taps does sound like an acronym. All right, we'll look up why this is called Taps. Nice job.
Thanks.
Killing everyone's fun, T.
Danny.
No, but, you did. Did a good job.
No, I swear to God.
Some would say too good.
I was almost going to cry right there. Cause remember, I first of all, I never asked for this divorce, nor did I want it. I think she's a spectacular woman. Remember, I played Alimony Blues?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what she said to her lawyer right in front of me? No, that's too much money. He shouldn't have to pay that. That's not fair.
Oh, that means it was a lot.
That means it was a ton, but I've never heard of a woman saying that before. And I thought, that's God, I didn't want you to leave me before.
That's a keeper.
I know.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah, I never really knew how deep my feelings ran for my wife until we were getting divorced.
Tell Danny to move on. I hate to admit it, but that's kind of true. Okay, so here is I think you just can't go wrong with this. This is a great bachelor party song.
Mmm, a little super freak
for you. A little right on the nose, but...
Plus, you're talking about a guy who enslaved a couple of women.
Yeah.
Burnt them with cigarettes and fed them coke for a few days.
Yeah, but they blamed Rick for it, and I got scot-free.
He had his own bachelor party going on for like a week at his hill house. Yeah. Good time.
I was convicted too, man.
All right, that is good stuff. Give us in the bad department, Danny.
All right, now, not at a bachelor party, but just this. It's a personal experience and a bad song for a bachelor party. I think you can't go wrong with the Kinks.
Lola. Yeah. That's right.
It's your song.
It's bad friggin' timing. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's tough because it's a good song, but once you cut through the tune, you get to the lyrics, and it's tranny time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's just, you know your date is off to a bad start when she's better hung than you are. It's just, that's going to be a problem all night long.
Well, I'll be able to shake that bad mood out of you with my number one in the good department. Great band that just... doesn't get their due. Not sure if they're somewhere between rock and, I don't know, new wave or something. There wasn't a great category for the cult, but great strip club and great bachelor party music band.
It's funny, because this would be the last song I would associate with the cult, even though it was their biggest hit. I just think it was so dark. Yeah.
I like it.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't even know. It's called the She Sells Sanctuary. I have no idea what he's singing about, but it wouldn't mind. I'm drunk anyway. What do I care?
Right.
All right, now we go to my all-time worst possible choice.
Boy,
for a bachelor party.
The bar is set so high.
This is the theme from Ken Burns' Civil War documentary.
What the hell is wrong with you, Corolla?
See, you can hear the narrator's voice going, Sherman marched to Atlanta, burned every crop, every house, every man, woman, and child. He put him in the ground. Then they do those things where they write letters back, you know, and they read the letters.
Yeah, the
and these guys all sound like poets, even right. though they were 17-year-olds and pulled off the farms.
Dying in mud.
And now your average enlisted guy's letters, like, here's a letter to his wife. Hey, dude, what's going on with the Rugrats? Cool. Send more macaroni cheese. And then back then it was like, be like, dearest Scarlett. You know, it was like, this war, this infernal war, which feels like it's been going on a fortnight and then some. And they just wax poetic and you realize those who could write, and that was 5% right, of the populace, wrote so much better than we do now. I mean, it was amazing how eloquent those guys were.
You know, we're talking about my bachelor party. When this first started, I thought, even though my wife was willing to take less than she could have, it's not enough money to work with such a lunatic as Carolla, who would pick, this is the worst bachelor party. What would make you think of this song? But my wife has the letters from her grandfather from World War II and her brother from Iraq. And you couldn't have been more right.
Yeah. Well, we were not. They were so eloquent. And they were like 17 and they're on farms and they're all dead. All right. Let's,
God, you're a depressing bastard.
Well, it's a horrible song to play to bachelor party.
That is.
Let's, go to, your contributions. Chris?
How you doing?
Good. From Fresno. Worst song to play to bachelor party.
Well, unless you're really politically correct and you're a gay advocate, this right here would definitely be the worst. The Weather Girls, Raining Men.
Yeah. It's a good bad one, but I would laugh because I'd say
it's campy.
That means somebody had a sense of humor to be fun.
It's
kitschy and campy, but I can dig it. Little on the nose, but good. All right, here we go.
I've never been to a bachelorette party, but I bet this song has.
Dude, you guys are out of control. Okay, I'm telling you right now, at our bachelor party, there will not be straws shaped like penises. That's a thing you chicks do.
I don't.
Todd? I got my kids as penis straws. Silly penis straws.
Penis necklaces.
Yeah. Does a loop-de-loop through the sack and then right out the top. Todd?
Yeah?
What do you got for us?
Anything by The Cure.
Yeah, in the bad department.
I don't want to cry at a bachelor party.
Right.
Most men do.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where you get kind of bummed out.
God, am I doing the right thing, man?
Yeah, you're sitting in the corner, leaning against the wall, smoking.
And you do that thing, you go, you know really what have dug this party? Ted. Too bad he bought it on that moped. Yeah. God, he was a good guy. Oh, man, I could... Let's go to Ted's grave and blow a joint. Come on.
My whole
Let's get out of here.
What have I done? What have I done?
All right, we don't have time for it, but 9-inch nails, closer, Led Zeppelin, whole lot of love. You get the picture. We need to take ourselves a break. News when we come back.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci from the History Channel.
Like many of his neighbors, Jefferson did happen to be chronically in debt. But his motivations for the cause of independence ran as deep as his soul.
The golden voice is Edward Herman on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, this is a guy I see at Pebble Beach at the... auto concourse every year. He presides over the whole thing. But he's been in Nixon, Reds, Annie, The Aviator, The Great Gatsby.
Are you usually wearing your fancy pants when you see him, or just regular slacks?
I wear the high ones that you know come with a riding crop. We'll speak
no
to
handicap, Cap.
Mm-hmm. Edward Herman.
Yes, sir.
Good to speak to you.
Nice to talk to you.
I
like the riding pants idea.
Well, as you know from going to the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance,
yeah,
a lot of people will dress in the period garb.
Yeah, a lot of people have fun with it.
And
that's what I think they should, by the way.
Do you have... By the way, Edward Herman, who presides over the whole thing, and you guys know from the History Channel and many other endeavors, how much in dollars do you think is represented on that 18th green or on the 18th hole at Pebble Beach in terms of automobiles in one sitting? Do you have any idea?
I'd hate to estimate the insurance costs there. Some of those cars are worth $6 and $7 million apiece if they're 9C Alphas with a single, one-off body.
Right.
A standard, beautiful, open Packard, a Dietrich Packard, might be $500,000 to $600,000, maybe $700,000.
And then there's hundreds
and
of
then
those
there,
cars.
Yeah, we do 100. Last year we did 172. The field has gotten very big, and then we scaled it back a bit so people could have more room and take a look at
this. If you want to see white, rich people getting drunk and enjoying, if you want to know why the terrorists hate this country.
Yeah. Or as Jay Leno says, all the people in the audience, these are all the millionaires. The ones up here that own the cars, these are all the billionaires.
Right. So, you want to know why we're hated around the world, go to Pebble Beach in August, watch...
and enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself, but watch Hobnob and rub elbows with the rich folks. And, Edward, I don't believe you know this, but I was describing, and perhaps you could act in it, one of my movie ideas, which was called Grand Theft Submarine, where a Soviet submarine pulled up to Pebble Beach and stole all the cars. And if you go to AdamCarolla.com, you can see it illustrated. That's right.
Fact. Do you draw as well as run a show like
that? No, somebody heard me talking about it and drew it up. The guy's name's Michael Naren, and it's very impressive. Not me.
Well, I have to get it at high tide because it's pretty tough.
Oh yeah, it's a good point. We'll CGI that.
For God's sakes, he can work this out.
So. Yeah. Edward, we talking about History Lost and Found?
I hope so, because it's one of my very favorite shows.
Oh, History Lost and Found, a lot of the stuff. I've been with the History Channel since they spun off from the A&E.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on camera, off camera. I've done a lot of stuff for them. I'm still with them, and they're a nice bunch over there.
And you go in and you do VO voiceover work, and they put you on camera. I also recognize you from, I believe it's Dodge, doing all those Dodge
stuff. Well, I did Dodge for about 7 or 8 years. I was their spokesman when things were very good for the company.
Right.
When I left, the Germans took over, and things went.
You think there's a correlation because when you were no longer there.
I think it's a direct correlation.
Thank
if you want to know the truth.
Herman, enter Krauss.
I've had the Gilmore Girls in between times, so that was helpful, too.
Right, so History Lost and Found, it is on A&E.
Yeah, well, the A&E and the History Channel are two separate things, and they also have a History Channel International. It's a nice group.
Can I just tell you that at dinner, the History Channel can make you look so smart.
They tell you, it certainly can.
Last night at dinner, the Rosetta Stone came up because somebody was talking about learning a new language and somebody at the other end of the table misunderstood and thought they meant the Rosetta Stone.
Right.
Well, neither of them knew anything about what they were talking about.
Uh-huh.
And I knew enough to look like I knew everything from one episode of your show. I knew I knew when it was found, what it did. I looked so smart just from one episode.
Is your check in the mail?
No, because
for special tutoring.
These were both attractive women, and nobody slept with me. So you get nothing out of me looking so bright.
Thank you so much.
Edward Herman is here from the History Channel, History Lost and Found. And yes, look, I've learned everything I've learned from watching TV or listening to radio. I don't read. I know readers turn their nose up on those of us who watch TV, and they call it the idiot box. It was the idiot box 20 years ago when there were three channels, and I was watching
me.
Danny.
No, I think there's a lot of interesting material.
Absolutely, and especially on A&E and the History Channel, and you're doing the Lord's work. Hey, Edward Herman, when I go up to Pebble Beach in August and come up to you and introduce myself, pretend like you know me.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best. We have a very busy morning. Of course, if you really want to be there, get there at 6 in the morning and watch the cars drive onto the field.
I always announce that I'm going to be there at sun up, but then the night before I go out boozing.
It's a hard thing to sleep in.
All right. Yeah. Edward Herman, the history lost and found, one of the best shows on TV. And again, you don't have to read books just to be smart. You can watch the History Channel.
There you go.
Thanks, Edward.
You bet. Bye.
Oops, sorry, cut up.
By the way, you can also just, I mean, because I take it very seriously, because I'm dyslexic and so is my kid. You can also buy...
audiobooks.
The box sets of these. You can go to the History Channel store and buy all the information you would ever need to be an expert on any subject.
Infotainment. T, speaking of infotainment, what's coming up in the news?
Rosie blogs, Lindsay crashes.
All right, next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Home video of a monitor lizard that's terrorizing a Florida neighborhood.
And what do you crave when it comes to junk food? Men and women have very different tastes.
Another great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Just watching the local news up here. Turns out there's a couple lost whales. Please, BFD kitties.
How can you not care about the whales even a little?
I can care a little, but I can't care at the top of the news for the last 16 days straight. And then that giving way to summer driving season and the price of gas going up. T?
Yes.
What's in your news, baby?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Whales having some trouble finding their way home.
And by the way, we evidently have no data on whales, because right now they're trying to tap together, they're banging metal pipes, seeing if that will deter. Well, it doesn't work. So then they play tapes of, and I don't know where they get tapes of this, but they have tapes of orcas attacking whale populations, but that doesn't seem to deter. Now they're going to try, you know, doing the motorboat and a figure eight to see if we don't have any data on whales. We can't get whales to go the other direction.
Is there an inoffensive segue from whales to Rosie O'Donnell?
No.
Well,
I don't know that there's an actual segue needed.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah,
I agree.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Put a ball on the back of that bitch's head.
That's right.
Rosie is finished with The View, which means she's leaving 3 weeks before her contract is officially up. This, of course, all came down 2 days after her big on-air catfight with Elizabeth Hasselbeck, E.H. Now, she, Rosie, that is, released a standard boring statement, blah, 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 an amazing year, she loved everyone, blah, 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 but then she went video blogging.
Yeah, it wasn't my choice. It was their choice. More to do with the producers splitting the screen and refusing to go to commercial. When I saw the split screen, that's when I knew it was over.
Yeah.
Seriously.
The chick in the background is her second. It's basically the parrot on the pirate's shoulder, and she's just Bull Dyke number two, sits there and goes, It's like those guys from the Nation of Islam that just sit behind you in the kufis and go, right on. Oh, yeah.
Do you want to hear a little bit more?
Yeah.
Did EH send you apologies? She called, and Kelly and her spoke for a long time. And I haven't spoken to her, and I probably won't, and I think it's just as well. And I wrote her an email, and she wrote me back, and there you have it.
Big, fat, lesbian, loud Rosie.
Yeah. And I love when they put the mic into that old bat, Barbara Walters, to get to... By the way, why do we talk to liars? You know, all Barbara Walters does is lie. They put the mic, it's like, Rosie and I are great friends, we'll remain great friends.
I wish you weren't a liar.
We appreciate all that she's brought to. You guys, how many times do you think Rosie and Barbara, the two great friends, get together socially over the next year?
I gotta go with none.
I'm going with less than zero.
Yeah.
I'm going, if they get together once, it'll be zero, because they actually owe a lunch to each other. There is in some sort of alternate universe where there's a vacuum of lunches.
Rose O'Donnell has never been to a vacuous universe where they didn't have food.
Yes, they will never see each other again. I'm sure Barbara Walters thinks she's the bitch that everyone else thinks she is, and yet she can't say that, so why do we need to hear her lie? Thank you.
Lindsay Lohan may be drinking lunch and probably dinner. It appears that very early on Saturday morning, she crashed her Mercedes, jumped the curb on Sunset Boulevard, plowed into some trees. She was taken to the hospital, and apparently police found some narcotics in her car, possibly cocaine. That has not been confirmed. Here's what we do know. She learned her lesson because she waited a full 24 hours before going out again. Partying on Monday. She's due in court August 24th, by the way. But on Monday morning, she was out. It appeared that she was getting wasted with her friend Samantha Ronson. There are pictures of her online. Looks like she's throwing up on the sidewalk. Looks like she's passed out in a car. And a very poignant note, there's a 30-day sober chip hanging from the windshield mirror of the car.
Wasn't she just in that Freaky Friday movie the other day?
Like yesterday. She was a cute little... The cute little Parenthood girl.
Like a chubby little freckled red-haired kid.
Yeah.
When you start looking at Drew Barrymore as having it together as a kid, comparatively speaking.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, now she's at Malibu's Promises Rehab Clinic as of yesterday afternoon.
I don't want to put down any rehab anywhere. I don't think they work. Their percentage rates say they don't work. I mean, you have a way better chance at roulette than you do at getting sober your first visit to a treatment center. Right. And that is by their own brochure.
Right. Recidivism rates are high.
Yeah. So why is it if that particular one, and I feel bad because having been there, I know people there. I know people who work there. They're very nice. But when you go there and that's the one in the news and then you crash your car and go back, why don't you look up Hazleton?
Yeah,
in the next one.
Perhaps time for a change of venue.
No, you might want to check out Betty Ford this time
around. You went to the tutor. He helped you for your SATs. You got 721, and you're going to retake your SATs. Perhaps you'd like to break 1,000 this time. Perhaps it's time for a new tutor. Look, she's not going to stop drinking because she's 19 or 20 or whatever. She's got a lot of booze, and before she bottoms out, when chicks are young and hot and they feel invincible, they're not going to stop. What she needs is a wrangler assigned to her.
Yes.
She just needs some frat guy who stands next to her and goes, dude, maintain. Dude, you're totally drunk. You cannot drive. Dude, I'm taking. She needs a 26-year-old Ray. She needs my buddy Ray, when he's 26, just to stand next to her and go, are you high? Give me those keys. Easy, easy on that Stoli. It's time to switch to beer, baby. You're out of control.
Unfortunately, also doesn't work out. John Belushi had one. His name was Bill Superfoot Wallace, kickboxing champion of the world. Dodged him, went home and died.
All right.
And that was his whole job, was to make sure John stayed sober and had John's written permission and a written contract to kick his ass and could not be fired.
Well, Ray is called Super Mouth. You don't need Super Foot, you need Super Mouth. Dude! Maintain!
Yeah, this is a humiliator.
Right.
I'm sure we'll be hearing lots more about Lindsay Lohan and her recovery in the coming days. Meanwhile, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
I like when the two guys turn into the Maintain dude. When they start yelling at, dude, get, dude, you, dude, you're loaded, dude, you're loaded. I like the drunk off the dude drunk. Right. I'm effed up, dude, look at yourself, dude, you're totally, dude, I'm drunk, dude, you cannot, dude, there's the dude who's drunker, dude. Once in a while you see the two wranglers square off in the party.
Right.
Dude, you are effed up beyond belief, dude, you are obliterated, dude, and then the Maintain off. All right.
The line between me being too drunk to do something and being able to speak English is really thin. The second you've noticed I might be too high to get behind the wheel of a car, I've imbibed so much so fast that I just continue to get drunker no matter what.
Dude, we gotta go to commercial, dude. Maintain, dude.
We're behind.
Dude, give me the microphone. We're going to commercial. Want to give thanks where thanks are due. Bob Odenkirk, Derek and Simon, the show, Super Deluxe, superdeluxe.com. Edward Herman, the history, Lost and Found, A&E, check your local listings. And tip of the cap to Cliff from iecoffee.com. He brings us all our coffee. Good guy, good cause. His wife is sick. Support the friends of the show, everyone. iecoffee.com. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
I'm a novelty DJ. I'm the guy from the Partridge Family.
Thank you.